Can you hear me all right? I can just barely hear you.
You should be able, you should be able to hear me because my volume is registering now. It's about halfway up the scale, so
yep.
You should be able to hear me on this.
I got you now.
Is that better? Yeah, my volume's right up this end, so... Is that better?
Yep, perfect.
Okay.
Thanks for acknowledging my existence.
That's okay. I do try and do these things.
May I ask how old you are?
Sorry?
May I ask how old you are?
I'm 44, coming up 45.
I'm 57.
Okay.
Do you have any idea, from what I sent you, what I'm about?
Only a bit. I haven't listened to your broadcast yet. I'm going driving somewhere tomorrow, traveling somewhere tomorrow, so I was planning to listen to it tomorrow. So I've downloaded that link that you sent.
Just as soon as you acknowledge my existence in an ethical fashion,
mm-hmm.
I considered it kind of important to touch base with you as best I could. So I sent you some more emails and stuff because I don't want to sound paranoid, but it's a fact, you know. Anyone who sides with me tends to be attacked, so I wanted to give you a heads up.
I'll unmute that.
Well, here's who I am in a nutshell, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Nobody special. But
right.
Years ago, I was forced to sue 3 U.S. Treasury agents and a host of judges and lawyers in Boston.
Okay.
What had happened was I filed whistleblower forms with the U.S. Treasury Department.
Yeah.
And the next thing I knew, they kept trying to lock me up and shut me up, and they were attacking my family, hell, west and crooked.
Sure.
And I had no idea, sir, what sort of can of worms I had kicked over.
Right.
But that was 2001.
Okay.
I survived the battle, but at a great expense to my family.
Wow.
In a nutshell, we live in Milton, Massachusetts, the same town where George H.W. Bush was born.
Right.
And I had blown the whistle on banks and investment houses having to do with my wife's inheritance. She had inherited interests in estates and trusts from family members buried around Rose Kennedy.
Okay.
And nobody would do the right thing. Estates were closed without her knowledge or assent. The money stolen. I tracked the money out of Merrill Lynch, 50 grand at a time, into bank teller machines, and then into other banks. They call that money laundering. I found bank accounts held open in dead people's names years after their estates were closed. Found all kinds of stuff.
Wow.
So anyway, nobody would do anything, and my brother-in-law's a lawyer, my sister's a lawyer, my dad was tax supervisor up here in Canada. I know a lot of people.
Right.
When I tried to reason with my wife's family to rectify the matters, I tried to reason with the courts to make things right, and no matter what I did, they kept harassing us.
Okay.
So, it's a dirty trick, a lot of people think, but I ratted them out to the tax man. I filed what is known as confidential whistleblower forms, Form 211s, with the IRS,
right.
Because the IRS get the first kick at the can of all estates and trusts. So my reasoning was, let the tax man go audit the banks and the lawyers, let them find their money and they'll find ours.
Interesting, yeah. Mm.
Well, as soon as I did that, it went real bad. And it took me It took me about 2 years to figure it out, but as soon as I figured it out, I actually won some judgments. I'd sued people and actually won and wouldn't take the judgments.
Right.
Because the war in Iraq was about to start. I won 4 judgments by default on March 18th of all days. I think it was just a day or two before the war in Iraq started. And anyway, I went to 2 courts and I showed 2 different judges sufficient evidence to warrant an investigation into the possible impeachment of George Bush.
Right.
My problem went all the way to the Oval Office.
Wow.
That was in 2002.
Wow.
Now, since that time, I've run for public office in Canada 4 times.
Yeah.
In the emails I sent you, 6 months after the Americans came to my door and tried to take me to Guantanamo Bay, I caused very important hearings at the U.S. Senate Banking Committee.
Yeah.
While we're talking, just boot up Google.
Yeah. Okay.
And in Google, type in the words Senate Banking Committee. And
okay.
The number one hit will be the U.S. Senate Committee on Banking and Housing and Urban Affairs. Now, don't go to their site. You don't have to. Google offers a link to the hearing.
Okay.
You just click on the link to the hearing.
I'm looking for the hearing because I've got UK Google here, so it might give things in a different order.
Well, if you type in Senate Banking Committee, your number one hit should be the U.S. Senate Committee on Banking and Housing and Urban Affairs. They're the biggest game in the world.
Oh, hearings, yeah. Sorry, right. I found a little link under that. Yeah, I was clicking in the wrong place. Yeah, okay, I've got that.
I'm just relying on my memory, but about a third of the way down the page, there's a search bar to review current hearings, and there's a tab at the end of the search bar, and you tip on the tab. You can go to the year 2003.
Okay.
Now,
yeah, done that.
On November the 18th, 2003, there was a hearing entitled Review of Current Investigations of the Mutual Fund Industry.
Okay, got that.
All right, now, over here, it's probably the same in your parliament, but the same in the States, these are very public hearings, and they're transmitted live on C-SPAN. The public can get the webcast for the hearings and the transcripts. Now, please notice on the 18th, Mr. Donaldson, Mr. Lakowitz, and Mr. Fink are speaking.
Yeah, got those, yeah.
You can get their political rhetoric before the hearing, but you can't get the transcript of the hearing anymore. Nor can you watch the webcast. Okay?
Okay.
Now, back out of that page, there's a second date of the hearing on November the 20th.
Okay.
It's got the same title, Review of Current Investigations.
Right.
Now, you understand this is about the very industry that caused the economic collapse.
Yes.
Now, on the second day of the hearing, on the 20th, Elliot Spitzer, who was pretending to be my friend, testified.
Oh, Elliot Spitzer, yes, I'm familiar with him. I've thought,
yeah,
you know,
he was pretending to be my friend back then. He testified.
Okay.
Stephen Cutler, you understand that this is just coming off the top of my head?
Yeah.
Stephen Cutler, he was Donaldson's top enforcement lawyer. Now he's general counsel for J.P. Morgan. He testified. And
right.
You see a lawyer by the name of Robert Glauber?
Yeah.
He's neighbors to my wife's family in Brookline, Massachusetts.
Right.
He's a former SEC lawyer. He teaches at Harvard. And you understand that my wife's family, like our family lawyer who was ripping us off, sat on the board of governors of Harvard Law School when even the Inspector General of Justice graduated.
Wow.
He's Sumner Redstone's buddy. And his brother was Monsignor Kickham, buddies of Cardinal Law, and our other cousin was Cardinal Law's secretary. You're also talking to the man who sued Cardinal Law that caused him to quit his job in 2002 and go hide in the Vatican. Me, I sued him.
Wow, wow.
But anyway, on that second page, Mr. Obama's lawyers aren't all that smart. You know the transcript for the hearing has disappeared? Notice there's a link to the webcast.
Okay.
But when you click on the webcast, it no longer functions. So you know right. there once was a webcast, but now there isn't. Now, do you know when that hearing disappeared? The hearing disappeared. It was in the public record for years.
Right.
It disappeared in the fall of 2007. And as soon as I noticed that it was gone, I called many people. I called inspector generals. I called Elliot Spitzer's office because he was governor now.
What's okay.
wrong? They charged him with being with the wrong girl in Washington, but he's never been charged, arrested, or prosecuted. And the RCMP picked me up and locked me up in the loony bin.
Wow.
Yes, that happened.
Amazing.
Anyway, anybody who has an interest in money should ask the obvious question.
Absolutely.
Now, you don't know that I'm the whistleblower that caused it yet. Right?
All right.
Let me tell you something else. Mr. Glover, you see he was co-chair of the Investment Dealers Association?
All right.
Guess who the other guy was?
Cutler? I don't know. Well,
Bernie Madoff.
Sorry, who?
Bernie Madoff.
Oh.
I'm the guy that caused Bernie Madoff to plead guilty on March the 10th. I'm not smart enough to make this up. So anyway, that said, a lot of people know what I'm telling you because those links to the talk show, I explained it all over the world.
All right.
But you still don't know, and one must be ethical, and you feel free to stress test my ethics all day long. And only speak of what things that you know for a fact to be true yourself. You know what I mean?
All right. Mm-hmm.
But now, go to Google again, just before
right.
Google or whatever.
Yep.
And type in the words integrity, yeah, right. And yeah is spelled Y-E-A and R-I-G-H-T and put quotes around it so you can zero in on that expression.
Integrity, yeah, right. I'm just trying to do that, hang on.
And put quotes right
around it.
Zero in on those words. Just a minute, I got to turn the stove off.
Deimos, integrity, democratic underground.
If you Google the words integrity, yeah, right, and put quotes around it.
Yeah.
What little military training I had, memory courses, we remember funny things easier than we can remember sad things, so you give things jokes and you know what you put in your files.
Okay.
Anyway, that's a particular file of mine that the world is interested in. And many people have downloaded that file and put it on their site, so you can just click on one of them and have a look at it.
Oh, this is a scripd file. Okay, all right. Yeah, I see what you mean.
Yeah. Like, that's a very important file that if you've got a printer hooked up, you should press print.
But I'll say that.
Because this is important that why I'm talking to you. Because
all right.
you have acknowledged my existence.
Okay.
And decide to support me, they will attack you.
Mm.
Now, that said, best defense is a smashing offense. Napoleon said that. Anybody bothers you, in simple English, tell them to fuck off. They're harassing you because you're a friend of mine, and I know about you. I can protect you from across the ocean. Because, quite simply, nobody, I got to turn the stove off just a minute.
All right. I'll be back in a minute, too.
Nobody
yeah.
wants to admit I exist. Okay, now here's how I prove to you why I'm a whistleblower by way of that file. You see the top
right.
document is from the Deputy Prime Minister of Canada, Anne McClellan?
Yeah.
Notice she admits something happened between her predecessor and I on the day between the two hearings. November the 19th. You don't have to read the whole thing, but just notice the date. The day between the two hearings I pointed to, right?
Dated November 19th, yeah.
Now, if you check history, you can Google it, you'll see that that's the day that Attorney General Ashcroft flew to Canada to talk to Wayne Easter about me, because I was on the phone ripping them both a new asshole. Okay? You can tell right. I'm not a shy man.
Now, I sort of gathered that much so far, yeah.
I'm as mean as a snake, but a nice guy. But anyway, yeah. You know who David was? He was my father's captain in World War II.
Right.
He was the first Canadian to win the Victoria Cross.
Wow.
He died on my mother's birthday, June 24th, 1944. Google him, David Hornell. He's my father's captain. Raymond was my mother's favorite brother. He died June the 7th, 1944, the day after the landings. He died just outside of Caen. What those young men die for? What kind of man would I be if some puppies try to take me away to Cuba and I don't fucking defend my rights to the nail? What'd they die
Absolutely.
For?
Absolutely.
Huh?
Yeah, I see what you mean. Yeah, I see what you're saying.
Yeah. Like, there's no degrees of honesty. You are or you aren't. There's no gray area.
Yeah, correct.
But anyway, that said, the second page of that document, you see it comes from the Inspector General of the Department of Homeland Security with a complaint number. And he's promising to investigate something, but there's a whole lot of legal double talk. He ain't going to say shit, but he's promising basically to investigate why they tried to take me to Cuba 6 months before that fucking hearing.
Wow.
Because I'm a Canadian, not a Yankee. And there's no way them Yankees came to my door and tried to take me to Cuba without the RCMP being involved. Particularly when I had an RCMP officer witness an affidavit of mine that had been argued in U.S. federal court in two lawsuits 6 months before that. And nobody can't deny that the RCMP used to hire me as an expert witness 25 years ago. I'm recognized as being an honest man.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So anyway, that said, I'm nobody special. I'm just a bike mechanic, but I think you can tell I'm smarter than the average bear. I quote cartoons or I quote Shakespeare. It depends on who I'm dealing with and the mood I'm in. But anyway, if you scroll down to page 13 of that file.
13, let's just see if I can...
Page 13 is your smoking gun.
Don't give me page numbers on this list I've got here. I might have to go on to another
list. There's a scroll bar off to the left of the... If you're in Scrib, there's a scroll bar there on the document. You can scroll down.
Ah, yeah. What did you say? Page, what is it?
13.
13, yeah. I just couldn't see the page number. It's very tiny on my screen. I found it now.
There's a little square you can tip up and make it full screen.
Yeah, so that's... Yes, so it's the State of New York Office of the Attorney General, that page.
Notice the date?
20th of November 2003.
Notice who signed it.
Alex Spitzer, yeah.
Notice what he thanked me for.
SEC and Investment Industry.
I am the whistleblower.
Okay, yeah, sure.
As I said, the people failed to listen to me 7 years ago when I blew the whistle. And now all of these years later, everybody and his dog is flat out scared to death of me.
Yeah.
Now, do you know how many death threats I had today? Just today.
Oh, probably in the tours, 100 or something like that.
I've had about a half a dozen today. Do I sound afraid?
Not at all. You sound, very...
I'm too stupid to know fear. But all that said, those radio shows that I provided the link to...
Okay.
It's all well known. Now, you are concerned about the WHO flu, as we all should be.
Okay. Not just that. I can tell you some things as well.
Well, I read a little bit, but I
all right, carry on.
I do not pretend to be somebody I'm not, okay?
Me neither.
Now, here's what happened, okay? And you can see some of it in the emails I sent you, okay? But here is what happened, so you'll know, okay? Because I might not be able to talk to you again for a while. I'm heading for the woods with the guns, if you know what I mean.
Oh, God, okay. Wow.
Yeah, this is very serious business I'm in.
I know. I'm not doubting that at all from what you told me and showed me.
Yeah. But anyway, here's what happened. And there's a bunch of people in New Zealand that are studying my work right now, and I got New Zealand way over a barrel, and I got Iceland over a barrel, and I got France over a barrel, and even the Russians are taking an interest.
Okay.
But all that said, at Christmas time, I had already received an answer from the minister, the Prime Minister of Iceland back in October.
Mm.
And then by Christmas time, there were fucking riots in the street and he was ousted. And at the same time, I noticed a lot of people Googling the name Dora Bockenheimer and reading what I said to her years ago. And I go, why do people care about me and Dora Bockenheimer all these years?
All right.
And I'm Googling her back to see what the fuck, you know? And I could see, all right, she had a baby, big deal. But I had no clue. And this was Christmas time of last year, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you'd asked me at Christmas time who Bernie Madoff was, I could have only told you what I heard in the news.
All right.
The three people I had been in contact that caused that hearing were Donaldson, Cutler, and Spitzer.
All right.
Lakowitz, Fink, and Mr. Glauber were meant nothing to me. Right?
Okay.
I'm communicating with Donaldson, Cutler, and Spitzer. Right? But Dora Bockenheimer I knew because I was also involved with the Frank Quattrone and the Martha Stewart matter in New York back in 2003 and 4. I was involved in those matters as well.
Right.
And Dora Bockenheimer was one of the SEC lawyers that I was raking over the coals over Martha Stewart and Frank Quattrone. And
right.
Her boss, Wayne Carlin, he quit. But anyway, They've locked me up twice. They bankrupted my wife, threw my wife and kids in the street and a home my wife paid off the mortgage on and homesteaded within an estate that's yet to be closed. Her dad's been dead since 73 and they're not quite sure if he's dead yet. But anyway,
wow.
They've done everything they can possibly do to stop me and it's just made me meaner. Anyway, have you ever been in a downtown Boston jail with 100 black fellas and you in a black watch kilt?
I can't say I have, no, quite honestly.
I scared them. They're going, you're one off the wall white boy. You know what I mean? Because I was attacking the sheriffs, not them. I became their immediate hero. You know what I mean?
Wow.
The Department of Foreign Affairs come visit me in that jail. I'm held in jail without being arrested, without being read my rights, after running for parliament. And I'm held underneath the charges of other, O-T-H-E-R, no charges, no bail, in solitary confinement. They had a caged fucking animal. That was in 2004. Anyway, all that said, nobody cares about mean old me or my family, but everybody loves their money.
Yes.
And in February of this year, it came out in the news that Dora Bockenheimer was one of the lawyers that dropped the ball on Bernie Madoff. So I said, something's up. People are worried about me and Bernie Madoff for some reason. Right?
All right.
And the link was Dora Bockenheimer. But I still did not know what I knew about Bernie Madoff, because I didn't know. But then I figured it out. Robert Glauber. He was his co-chair.
Right.
As soon as I connected that dot and sent the stuff to the U.S. attorney, and I can flip you the email exchange between the U.S. attorney and I where they admit filing my emails under seal, Bernie Madoff pleading guilty, and then ABC and NBC petitioned the court to see my emails, and they were pitching a fit. What do they do? And I said, unseal them. Right?
Yeah.
Nobody will talk about it. However, you have these alternate talk shows, GCN, RBN, etc. Now, I have no respect for these characters on GCN or whatever. All the guys I respect are dead. You know what I mean?
Right.
I Alex Jones to me is a Pied Piper.
Very much so, yeah.
The worst truths are ones with, the worst lies are ones with truth mixed in. And as soon as they start talking about, you name it, you know, like that Eichel guy and alien. I never met an alien. I ain't going to talk about aliens because I never met one. I know I caused a hearing at Senate Banking Committee, and I know I sued these bastards, and I know I did this, right? But I don't want to talk about shit I don't know about, right?
Sure.
And anyway, there was this Dr. Bill Deagle on GCN.
Yeah.
Who was helping a fellow I know out in BC that's in a bad way. And he did the decent thing, I thought. So I sent him an email and said, thank you for helping Alex. You know? And I said, you want to sink your teeth into something? Check this. And I flipped him a couple emails like I did you.
All right.
And I sent him the email exchange between the U.S. attorney and I, which had just happened. Bernie Madoff pled guilty on March the 13th, and Bill Deagle had the email by the end of March. Right?
Well, right.
Bill Deagle, he's a smart man, but I have an expression. Once a Fed, always a Fed. You don't leave them motherfuckers. You know what I mean? Not with
I know all about Bill Deagle.
Yeah, you know, once a Fed, always a Fed. You don't exit stage left from those kind of organizations.
No.
Bill Deagle, smart character. He checked my work in a heartbeat on the phone to me immediately.
Right.
I had no clue as to who he was other than I'm saying, you're on GCN and I trust them but as far as I can throw them. They're owned by ABC, for fuck's sakes.
I didn't know that.
Huh?
I didn't know they're owned by ABC, but I don't trust them.
Huh?
I didn't know that GCN were owned by ABC, but I don't trust GCN anyway.
Yeah, well, the fellow that owns GCN is affiliated, let's say, to ABC, but you know how that works.
Yeah.
But anyway, Alex Jones, who's he to me? Nobody. He just graduated high school in 1993, had a little show in fucking Austin, attacked everybody. Yeah. He's married. He makes a lot of money on what he does. Quite a yapper. But as I said, the fellas I respect are like the guy Webb, who committed suicide by shooting himself twice in the head with a revolver. those kind of guys, I kind of have respect for. You know what I mean? But anyway, all that said, Bill Deagle wanted me on the show, and I said, I'll go on the show, but don't you be fucking editing me, and I ain't going to agree with everything you say. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he agreed, and I said, and if you listen to the shows, I offered you the links to both shows. I saved them in my archives.
Yeah.
I laid the groundwork right out of the gate, but Bill Deagle is from Nova Scotia.
Okay.
And that's where you're talking to. You know what I mean?
All right.
And his family is still here. And a lot of these strange weapons that they use in Iraq and stuff are built in Nova Scotia.
Uh-huh.
And there is directed energy weapons. They've been around forever.
Oh, yeah.
So anyway, that said, he wants me on the show because I'm a feather in his cap about Bernie Madoff and Obama.
Yeah.
Because you understand I can impeach Obama.
Okay.
But anyway, that's what he wants to talk about. So the first hour of the show, Bill Deagle is all about Bill Deagle, like I'm all about Dave Amos, and it is his show, but it's hard to get a word edgewise in with him.
Yeah.
But the second hour, I bullied him. Right?
Yeah.
And I got my word out and quite frankly scared the piss out of him. Now, we come to the swine flu. I talked on his show, I believe it was April the 7th.
Right.
As soon as I was off his show, I got an email and my phone rang. It was from a young fellow named Alexander S. Jones from Washington. He worked for NIH. I think that's what it was.
Right.
He was much disturbed about what he had come to find out about Baxter and his what he was doing within his job in the lab in Washington.
I see.
And I can flip you all the emails, but the taste of them are in the emails I already sent you. If you scroll down through it, you will see his initial emails to me, etc.
Right.
So anyway, this is April the 7th. There's no such thing as a swine flu.
Yes.
Anyway, at the same time, because of me talking to Bill Deagle, the RCMP are trying to lock me and a farmer friend of mine up big time.
Okay.
The Canadian Food Health Inspection Agency, and they'd lifted the restrictions on the avian flu, and that's what Bill Deagle has been yapping about, is they're going to kill us all with avian flu.
Hmm.
So I flipped it all to Bill Deagle because the RCMP were attacking us big time, and it was all hooked to the Canadian Health Food Health Inspection Agency. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And, right.
You can see the documents. I keep the documents. I can put the emails till you're blue in the face with the documents, but just important that you listen for now.
Okay.
So anyway, I flip all this stuff to Bill Deagle. Never hear from that puppy ever again. And you can see I keep him in my email list.
Okay.
But this Alexander S. Jones, he's just young, though. He's in his 20s. And he's sending me stuff, sending me information, and then things are developing. I was over in Europe there, I think it was Poland or someplace. People, a bunch of people died, and then that fucking train with the CO2 went off and everything, right?
Yeah.
Meanwhile, the feds are pouncing on him big time down there. You can see one email where he said they're after me for $6,000 fine over $6 unpaid. You can see his email where he said they're after me now too, Dave. Because anybody talks to me, they fucking attack. Huh?
Right.
So anyway, the kid is sending me all this stuff, and I'm flipping it to other people. Right? Because I don't pretend to be a doctor or understand this crap. I don't know. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm just an asshole that knows what I've done about other things, right? But at least
I understand what you're saying, yeah.
So anyway, he includes me in this circle of about eight people, and one of them is this woman named Jane Burgermeister from Austria.
Okay.
Now, her first email was fairly radical, but she was, you know, justifiably pissed, right?
Yeah.
And she was seeking information from Alexander S. Jones, and he was feeding her, and she was yipping and complaining, and then bang, the swine flu broke out.
Right.
And as soon as that happened, the circle widened from about the initial eight people, which I was part of.
Yeah.
To, about 50.
Yeah.
And then I was attacked by what I call disinformation agents, trying to defer my credibility. And
yes.
This info agent that was attacking me is a spin doctor for the Roman Catholic Church in Boston. He writes their newspaper. His name's Stephen Hand.
Right.
And never forget, I sued Cardinal Law, and Cardinal O'Malley still has the same secretary, my wife's cousin. And they don't want my lawsuit against the Catholic Church to come out in the open, believe you me.
So, I bet, yeah.
So Stephen Hand, he's trying to discount my character and everything. I'm quick and sweet and short. And you can see Alexander's apology to me later, saying, you called a spade, I'm sorry we didn't understand about Stephen Hand earlier, right?
Yeah.
But by that time, we're all too late, I'm off on other things, like, what can I do about the swine flu, right? Yeah. I let everybody know what I knew and how I could help in a lawsuit. If they wanted it, if not, they'd go fuck themselves. You know what I mean?
Okay.
But I am the guy who sues lawyers.
Yeah.
Everybody else talks about it. I do it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Okay.
So anyway, that said, young fellow apologized, and I just let it go. I just let them go about their own business. You know what I mean? They're all the doctors and experts. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Sure.
So anyway, end of June, very end of June, as I work, I'm a voracious reader. I probably read 10,000 words for every word I write. But
right.
I read, and I'm also listening because, you know, I'm always up for an education, so I'll listen to the GCN or RBN or whatever just in the background.
Okay.
Because I'm always up for an education because there are some truths, you know? And there
yes,
are some
indeed.
Very ethical people that come on there, such as myself. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'll listen. So anyway, one night in late June, there was a farmer from Texas on there. He was on RBN. He was talking to Dr. Carley. But I didn't know Dr. Carley. But every other talk show host on RBN flat out hates me. Right?
Okay.
Because every now and then I'd call in and embarrass them. So I'm basically banned from RBN. And ask me if I care.
Yeah, right.
But anyway, I'm listening to this particular show, and there's this rich rancher down in Texas bullshitting Dr. Carley. Now, I don't even know who Dr. Carley is. She's just a woman that I know talking to some rancher in Texas.
All right.
So anyway, I hear the bullshit, and I'm no farmer, but I am staying on a farm, and the guy is a beef farmer, and he does know his business, right?
Okay.
So I get him up, and I say, listen to this, and he's on the phone, and he tackles the other farmer. So Dr. Carley takes an interest in what he has to say, and she's talking to him the next day.
Yeah.
And Werner is asking me to send her his files, because he's kind of like a computer dummy.
Yeah.
So I had kind of just snapped a digital snapshot of her page and emailed it to him, so he was looking at it and studying her, and I didn't even bother to read it.
Okay.
And then while he was talking to her, he was asking me to send her some more stuff and where to look, because he didn't know how to explain Scrib and all that to her.
Yeah.
So I got on the phone with her, and she and I were talking about how she could access his files and stuff, and I said, well, you're a doctor? And she goes, yeah. And I said, well, you know, your whole network hates me. I said, you must know Dr. Bill Deagle. And she goes, yes, 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 you know. And I said, well, Bill Deagle and I were talking about this shit months ago. She goes, when?
Yeah.
I said, back early April, I was explaining to him about Elliot Spitzer and I. And she
goes,
Elliot Spitzer? You know Elliot Spitzer? And I went, yeah. She said, Elliot Spitzer tried to put me in jail. She got all fired up.
Right.
And she said, can you talk on my show? And I said, no. And she said, why? I said, I'm busy. My kids are coming up from the States, and I only get to see them once a year when they get out of school. Their mother has to bring them up because there's 3 warrants for my arrest down the States. We've been separated for 5 fucking years.
Wow. Horrendous.
And I said, ma'am, I've been pounding my head against the wall about this, and I explained it to Bill Deagle months ago, and that puppy run off, and you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And she was telling me about losing her son to the system 10 years ago, and my heart went out to her.
Right.
And I said, well, I'll tell you what. I said, my kids aren't coming up till the 1st of July. I said, you can put me on the show right away. She said, I will. I said, I'll study your case, and I'll put the screws to the motherfuckers on your behalf, because I might as well be shot for a cow as a calf, and everybody hates me anyway. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I studied her case, which is kind of easy for me to do because it's basically standard operating procedure.
Yeah.
You know, they all do the same things. It's just a trick everywhere I look. Anyway, if you have somebody ethical that can embarrass the system and take their mask of virtue off and they can't defeat your argument, then they just simply call you crazy. And that's what they did with her. They tried to call her crazy like they tried to call me crazy.
Sure.
And, she threw away her medical license and went out of state, you know?
Yeah.
She's a very ethical lady.
Yes.
So anyway, I checked out and I saw, and I don't pretend to understand, but I do kind of understand because, believe it or not, when I was 3 years old, I had viral encephalitis and I was in a coma for a month.
Wow.
And I had to learn to walk and talk all over again. And
wow.
And I understand what she's saying about homeopathy because I know of a doctor right around here in this neighborhood that committed suicide, supposedly, because he noticed a lot of his patients were getting better from cancer because they were taking this Indian recipe around here.
Sure.
And I believe most of the best medicines are sourced from nature, just as she says. But as I said, I'm no doctor. But I do have respect for doctors because any man that can take me apart, take my kidney out, put me back together, or change my heart, he knows his shit. But
exactly.
But there's two kinds of doctors. There's the pill doctors that believe what the pharmaceutical guys give them, and then there's the mechanics. And and Dr. Carly is a mechanic. She was a surgeon.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And furthermore, she was ethical at great expense to her family. She lost her son, and she lost her doctor's license. And yet she still found her head against a wall in an ethical fashion against vaccinations long before there was a fucking WHO flu.
Not exactly.
Yeah. But anyway, I talked on her show June the 27th. And as soon as I was done her show, her girlfriend, a lady from Long Island, heard the show, was on the phone, and she had problems in New York within days because they're trying to lock her up in the nut house. And she has a TV show called What's Ailing America that backs up Dr. Carly. Within days, I told her, get out of Dodge. Your next stop is the loony bin, because she read me, and she's a paralegal or whatever, and she understood. And anyway, she was on the bus and come flying to Canada. It was so funny. That file that I told you to print, I said, you print that and put it in your purse. And anyway, she caught a train from Long Island to the bus station in New York, and there was guys she didn't know lugging her baggage for her. She said it was very strange. I said, no kidding. And then when she come up to Canada, when she landed at the border in Canada, the border guards come on the bus and asked everybody but her a question. Everybody on the bus noticed that. Well, that one document that you have that I told you to print is your ticket out of jail. As long as I am not dead, nobody will fuck with you if you have those papers. You scroll through them, you can see U.S. Special Counsel, Senator John McCain, Ted Kennedy. You know what I mean? I just showed you three of them. Look at them all.
Yeah. Yeah.
So anyway, she's still up here in Canada. Because she and my farmer friend fell in love, so to speak.
Right.
Right?
Right, yeah.
Meanwhile, today is a big day in Canada. Not only is it the first day of hunting season, but it's D-Day in Parliament. There's a confidence motion. So I'm trying hard to stop an election today. Or start an election. I'm trying to pop one. Right? So I'm using this WHO flu. I'm using the economy. I'm the guy with all the wiretap tapes of the mob, too. You know that, don't you?
Right.
You know about that?
No.
I don't know if you noticed it. Anyway, do you remember on February the 6th, 2006, Alberto Gonzalez wouldn't take the oath as he testified before Congress about Bush's self-proclaimed right to wiretap state population? The reason...
I remember something about that.
Yeah, well, I'm the guy that sent him all the wiretap tapes by way of the Yankee lawyer, Barry Bachrach. I got cases of FBI wiretap tapes of the mob.
Wow.
Unbelievable. I keep talking, you'll think I'm the biggest bullshitter on the planet. But I'll tell you
that.
Truth is stranger than fiction, sir.
It is. Oh, I know that.
Huh?
Yeah, I agree. I could tell you some strange truths as well.
Yeah, of that I have no doubt. But why I called you, you had the sand to recognize I existed. Because most followers don't. They're scared. Everybody's scared.
Yeah, that's right.
And that's why I asked you how old you are. Because if I live another year, I'll be the first one that's surprised. But once you are comfortable with yourself, and it really doesn't matter. As long as I behave properly according to my conscience, I don't give a shit about the rest.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I do.
But all that said, it behooves me to make as many people, ethical or otherwise, aware of what I've done, and they can sort out the truth from fiction for themselves for the benefit of their children.
Mm.
We're all in this together.
Yeah.
Whether it's the WHO flu or the economy or them beating the drum on the war in Iraq or Iran rather, things don't look good, buddy.
They don't look good.
It doesn't.
They don't look good.
It doesn't look good at all. And the first political speech, I've never voted in my life. I hate politics. I fucking hate politics. You understand?
Yeah.
I'm a bike mechanic. Right? I'm a bike mechanic. But,
right.
Somebody's got to tell the smiling bastards off. And you put your name on the ballot, you got the right to debate them. In some of the debates, I had to buy the questions to get into debates, but I went and I told the motherfuckers off. But the first speech I made, I apologized for my generation. Because we became what we once protested.
Right.
And we've had the best kick at the can of any generation in history that I know of.
Mm-hmm.
Especially us Canadians.
Right.
And now as we're all facing retirement, what kind of fucking world are we leaving our children? And we knew better. We knew better. And a lot of my friends are judges, guys I went to school with, and girls too, are judges, politicians, and I'm still the same guy I was when I was 17.
Right.
You know, I ain't changed. And they say, why don't you grow up? And I said, what, be like you? You know what I mean? Right?
Yeah, yeah.
But that's enough preaching for now. The whole hard facts, the WHO flu.
Mm.
If you look at what I sent you, I'm in the province of New Brunswick.
Okay.
And within the province of New Brunswick, there's a new deputy minister for health.
Yeah.
If you look at the email, he was trying to have me locked up last week.
Yeah.
It didn't work out too well for the puppy. Now, you remarked about that Globe and Mail article that kind of would help your concerns.
All right.
If you look at it, you'll see that the province of New Brunswick is the only province that's going to give people the shot.
Ah.
And if you look at that Van Vinier guy, the guy that was trying to have me locked up last week.
Right.
His wife is in charge of the serums.
Wow.
It's very corrupt here. You understand?
Yeah.
If you read the Globe and Mail thing, understand that I am in New Brunswick, and it was he that's doing this, and it's his wife involved, and I don't even think that bastard's from here. I haven't searched him out enough. I don't know. He's already showed me his ass, so I don't care. I got his signature, and I'm off something else. But when I did Google him, I thought he come from Washington State.
Right.
Do you have a camera on your computer?
I do, yeah.
Let's do the video so you can see how ugly I am.
If
I look like a Attila the Hun.
Attila the Dun. I'll switch mine on if I can remember which button to press. See if it works. Put them rival. Oh, wow.
You see me?
Yep.
I can't see you yet.
It's just, hang on, I've got to actually put it to change it because it's screws up the settings on this computer.
Now, I took a break from this once that my boy went back down to the States here at the end of August.
Right.
And
yeah.
I went to see my grown daughter down in Nova Scotia.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't there a day, and she was being harassed on the phone. There you are. She was being harassed on the phone. Cops. They were photoshopping my younger daughter and putting naked bodies on her and putting her in pedophile sites. It got pretty bad.
Wow.
So, with what's going on with the economy and budgets and the flu, the internet is much controlled. If you go to YouTube right now, you can just type in my name, David Raymond Amos, just put it all at one. They've even created a shill account, which is seems like me, David Raymond Amos, only it's David Raymond Amos 1. And
right.
You can see me going about the internet picking fights with Hell's Angels and Outlaws and confessing to be a pedophile and putting up pictures of my own daughter. And it's the RCMP trying to impeach my character. But while I was down in Nova Scotia, I booted up this Skype thing. It's new to me. And
yeah.
I talked on Skype to a fellow that's trying to expose the bullshit behind the 9/11 truther movement.
Okay.
And he just sort of recorded me on Skype, and then one time he even took a camera and videotaped me through Skype, you know?
Yeah.
He put up YouTube, and oh, Jesus, was he attacked. He's just like livid. If you find my YouTube channel,
yeah,
they killed all his YouTubes, but he put them up again and again. So
yeah.
I put them up in my site too, and I'm picking a fight back. You know, I'm attacking back. But
absolutely,
everything is a matter of political will. And if the Smiler bastards don't have their particular puppets in play, then they lose out their seat on the gravy train. And right now, today, if you Google Canada, there's a vote going down, and it'll be going down in about 15 minutes. And the hard... No, it's about an hour. It's 5:30 Ottawa time. It's only 5:15 here. Anyway,
all right.
They're so weird that the far-left NDP party is supporting the far right wing conservative party. It's like strange days in the House of Commons, right? And there's a huge battle within the Liberal Party. Everybody's like at each other, and believe you me, I was on the phone all day talking to parliamentarians reading them the Riot Act. Meanwhile, here's the fun part, because no matter where you go, somebody lost money to Bernie Madoff. Right?
Yeah.
Now think about this 10 seconds. Right?
Yeah.
In England, there was one old soldier that shot himself over Bernie Madoff. You know about that one?
Yeah.
All right.
Well, I've probably heard about it, but something I've probably not shown to remember.
Well, for sure, everybody's lost a lot of money in the stock market. Can you imagine if you had shares in GM last year? So anyway, when Bernie Madoff pled guilty,
yeah,
$65 billion just doesn't go poof. It leaves a paper trail and a digital trail. Where did $65 billion go? And who did he replace? One of the most outspoken people at his trial, as they wanted him hung, was the woman in charge of the Zionist organization for the United States of America. Bernie Madoff was a Zionist. You understand?
Right.
Well, we all know Zionists got the money to finance Israel.
Yeah.
And Zionists aren't Jews. You know that.
No. Yeah, I know that.
It's all about the money and control. The decent Jewish fellows with the curly hair and the beards, they're protesting as much as anyone.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm not anti-Semite. I hate everybody. I'm like Groucho Marx. I don't belong to any club, you know? I'm the jerk on the hill telling everybody off. But I'll run to the defense of any innocent soul any chance I get. And I was trying to direct you to Dr. Carly's show because I was backing her up, L. Weston Crooked. Mm,
I've been on her show, actually.
Well, these strange days, even she bailed for me after I supported her. Jane Burgermeister, same thing.
Mm.
So, you don't have to believe me, but trust your own guts, you know? And look who else received those emails you did. Jane Burgermeister and Dr. Carly.
Mm.
See it for yourself, you know?
But, yeah.
You're entitled to your opinion. Publish what you will. But you're entitled to know what everybody knows.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
This Bernie Madoff thing is kind of particularly juicy. Because it's Zionists that are behind Obama. Obama has shares in Baxter, used to. The crazy bastards appear to want this war with Iran because they want to bring on Armageddon or something. But the fellow that seems to be interestingly ethical is the president of fucking Russia, of all places. And he's a lawyer. I'm all confused by all of this, but it's kind of like all the...
It is confusing.
There's strange days, and it's interesting to be alive in such a time and to be a player in it. So, if you take like a little bite of something else that nobody's talking about, you can widen it, and that's what happened with me, which is why I'm telling you. Is Bernie Madoff is good gossip. And that's why Bill Deagle got me on the show.
Yeah.
And then once he realized how deep the rabbit hole was that I was taking him down, he ran off. Right?
Mm-hmm.
But I still got the word out, which brought Alexandra S. Jones to me, which eventually brought Dr. Carly to me. You know what I mean? So my circle is widening. Now there's this lady named Penny Bright in New Zealand. She seems to like quite a firecracker. And they're having huge protests in New Zealand right now, and some of her associates checking my work quite closely. Meanwhile, I was ahead of them and contacted every minister and member of government in New Zealand. Because New Zealand ain't too big a spot, and it's easy to cover the ground. And I did.
It's pretty small, isn't it?
Huh?
Can I just pause you a minute? I'm just had a meal made for me. I can go and get it, but I can bring it up here.
You do that, and I'll do the same. Just leave it running. I had my hot dogs boiling there when I called you. Just you do the same thing I'm doing. Just leave it running.
Okay. Thank you. before I got my food now.
For some reason, it's a frozen train. I'm just looking at you with just your hand up. I don't. It's like it took a snapshot and hasn't.
Sometimes does that.
Is that right?
It's something with a camera.
Yeah, I see you now. You're eating. Can you see me?
You've gone now, but you're trying to see your car though.
All right, I think it's working now. I find this new technology like fucking fascinating.
It's fun. No.
What do you do for a living, Andrew?
I assess students.
Assess
for I assess them for disabilities.
Is that right?
Mm.
Whereabouts do you live?
In Midlands of England, about 140 miles from London, 140 miles north.
I drove through there one time. My wife and I taking the kids up to Scotland.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we drove around England a little bit.
Yeah.
My ancestors come from Dumfriesshire area.
All right, yeah.
Yeah, but so I was just kind of kicking around your country, just checking it out.
How long ago was that?
Oh, God. Probably in the late 90s.
Oh, not that long ago, then.
Yeah.
10 years.
Yeah. Yeah. My wife works for American Express, so she gets all these free trips.
So, okay.
It was kind of neat to travel around. It's not like we were wealthy, but the perks with their job were cool. But it turns out that we were wealthy and just didn't know it. You know what I mean?
That often happens. Yeah.
But all that said, that's a past life now. Like they've decimated my family.
I can understand. I'm sure people have said it to you, but it's surprising that you're still alive, basically.
I'm surprised sometimes too, but
I think there's a reason for that.
One of the first things I did way back when they first attacked me back in 2002 is I gave 14 men my durable power of attorney. They are me.
Right.
And the same evidence. And I've got wiretap tapes and documents spread all over 2 countries, and I did that before I sued anyone. I secured the evidence.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean? And just like what I'm doing right now goes under the heading of insurance by way of you, because the more people that know about my concerns, like a man who knows too much makes sure everybody knows, and then I'm no longer a threat to anyone.
I mean, basically, you know, I don't really know any people like you know people, but I do know stuff, and I just put it up on my website. I put everything I know is on my website. So, well,
that's a good idea. And
very little.
What's your website? If I Google your email address, will I find it?
GetTheEvidence.com to find it. I've had, Homeland Security on there and Sandy Alerts and just about everyone, basically.
I've had so many people tell me so many things. Especially after that hearing that I caused.
Yeah, I like that.
that lawyer that sent the wiretap tapes to Congress, he had a rather famous client, Leonard Peltier from the American Indian Movement.
Oh yeah, I'm not sure if I know that name, but
yeah. Well, anyway, that's a huge thing in all itself. And what I was informed of that, he asked me to investigate a lady that was murdered there 35 years ago. There's a trial going on, and what I know about Indians would shock you.
And
then, there's a fellow over in Newfoundland. He got a hold of me.
Mm-hmm.
And he is aware of much corruption in Newfoundland pertaining to his family that's absolutely shocking. But what he knows about other things is even more important that he won't talk.
Yeah.
But I've got some of it in writing from him years ago, and he's been locked up in the loony bin in Newfoundland all summer now. They got him on drugs, and they got him shut up.
Wow. But
most people I know have been locked up. There was another fellow, Dr. Ward Dean, down in Pensacola, Florida.
Yeah.
Now, this was funny. I took on every U.S. attorney in every district of the United States of America, all 94.
Wow.
Months before I caused that hearing, and got many answers.
Yeah.
Now, I had the U.S. attorney's offices so rattled. Some were answering me, and others would defer to the boss, Guy Lewis. H. Marshall Jarrett's the boss now, and I already have an answer from his other office. But anyway, they didn't want to answer me because I sent them evidence of murder, for God's sake. I sent them evidence of financial crime. I sent them evidence of fraud involving a fellow U.S. attorney. So they didn't want to put the signature to something. They just deferred to the executive offices, and I was already ahead of them. I already sent it to the executive office.
Yeah.
It's like, it was funny. There would be a pile of documents. It would cost me sometimes $700-$800 to go to the post office, send it registered mail to all these bastards. And I would go through like 6 cases of paper a weekend. The amount of toner I went through, the paper is cheap, it's the toner.
But oh, yeah. Yeah.
Worked like a charm, because a lot of times they'd play dumb, send the stuff back, saying not their problem, but I care about is I get your signature, I got the material back, so I just take it and address it and send it to somebody else. The ultimate recycling. Anyway, So anyway, I was roping them in hell west of crooked. And then I took on every member of the 108th Congress that was a lawyer, because I hate fucking lawyers. I took on 235 of the bastards, right? And got many answers, right? And then I caused that.
You heard the joke then? What's the difference between a sperm and a lawyer?
I don't think there is.
No, there is. Because a sperm has got a 1 in 50 million chance of becoming a human being.
you see, that's funny, because when I sent the stuff to all the lawyers for the Senate Banking Committee, like Chris Dodge, Shelby, one of the lawyers was Elizabeth Dole, Robert Dole's wife.
I heard of her, yeah.
And Robert Dole was trying to have Clinton impeached over a blowjob. Right?
Yep.
So yep. The particular letter where I wrote to the particular lawyers inside the Senate Banking Committee, if you can't have fun in this madness, you will go crazy. Plus, I want them to think I'm crazy, in a sense that I know that they're going to call me crazy.
Yeah.
But if I truly were crazy, then the onus is upon them to protect my rights and interests. I'm trying to catch them in a catch-22. Plus, although a lot of my letters appear crazy on the face of it, the evidence attached is not. And the devil is always in the detail, and you better read every word, because I'm suckering you. You know what I mean? So one of the ways to get a response, because what they'll do at their best is simply ignore you. If they don't recognize your existence, then there is no issue to discuss. So by appearing to be crazy, I discovered that I could get more responses than if I was more serious. But I'm always serious. You know what I mean? But
yeah.
You can catch me in the middle of a bar fight laughing. Yeah, if you lose your temper, you lose the fight, right? I look at it like a chess game. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So anyway, with this particular letter and that joke about the sperm, I couldn't resist having a joke with Elizabeth Dole.
Right.
And I was voicing my contempt about lawyers. And what I was saying is, you know, like, I'm giving you sufficient evidence to impeach George Bush. And everybody knows I've had sufficient evidence to impeach George Bush since September of 2002, 6 months before that nonsense in Iraq started.
Right.
You know what I mean? Everybody knows that.
Yeah.
So, because I'd argued it on the public record with the U.S. attorney in Boston, and I have his legal argument. You know what I mean? So anyway, I'm saying, you were trying to teach a former president for a blowjob. Because okay. He lied about a blowjob. But he didn't lie. He said he didn't have sex with that woman. Right? Well,
yeah.
What's the definition of a blowjob? Is it sex or not?
Exactly.
Now, to me, from my perspective, any man who wants to stay married should lie like a motherfucker anyway. And furthermore, whose business is it but his and his wife's? It's none of our business. I said if we could keep Bush from going to war, I'd forego my pride. My wife would probably go along with it. I'd give Bush a blowjob. You know what I mean? Like, what's my
pride?
You didn't
come out and laugh, did you?
What's my pride compared to the death of one child?
Mm. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So anyway, I'm saying to Elizabeth Dole, a blowjob's not sex. It's merely an intimate kiss, whether it's on my forehead or my cheek or my lips or the end of my pecker. Right? And
sure.
I said, if you think every act is a sex act, don't ask me what act spawned lawyers. And I was referring to anal sex. Boy, did I ever get a response from that one. Senator Shelby from Alabama, they wouldn't get my name at the hearing, right? Because nobody will say my name. They just kind of refer to me, but they won't say my name. But if you could watch the webcast that no longer exists, Senator Shelby said, how do we stop that man from Massachusetts from calling everybody names? And I just died laughing. Worked like a charm. Huh?
How
do
we
stop him
amazing.
From calling everybody names? Well, if you're a crook, you're a crook. And at the time that he was saying that, Senator Shelby was a turncoat. He'd been elected as a Democrat, turncoat to Republican, and at the time he was being investigated for shoveling like $28 million in his wife's pocket. They're all crooks, plain and simple. You know? And you can't get to that position unless you play the crooked game. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But who pays the bills? You know what they call us? The great unwashed. If you want to get truly offended, if you want to read till you puke, I'm going to go get another hot dog there, but...
sure, please do.
I see you're eating. You should bookmark a couple of web pages while you're talking to me, because I'll be gone here in short order. We might not be able to talk again for a while.
All right.
But if you bookmark some pages, if you're curious, you can check my work or...
Yeah.
Have a look at things. Some of it's pretty interesting. But back to Bernie Madoff for a minute. That's particularly juicy and timely because of this war or talk of war in Iran and stuff. And follow the money, how quick he settled and nobody else was prosecuted, etc. There's a big play out of Israel, nothing to do with Jews, but everything to do with Zionism and everything about control. The Russians know everything. You can Google the Russians and they'll talk about where the money went. The Russians know.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's just that you're not, right. You're not going to see it in mainstream media. You know what I mean?
No.
But no. What people need is someone who was on the inside of the game, and that's me.
Yeah.
I'm the guy that caused it, and I can put through the email right now and prove it to you. Right? In fact, I'll do it.
Yeah.
While I'm doing that, if you were to Google the word bacon fat 53, just make it one word.
Bacon. All one word.
Yeah, bacon fat 53. You should find a hit for a blogspot called baconfat53.blogspot.com.
All right. Yeah.
Now that's a Zionist blog here in Canada. He's a spin doctor. He's a former, claims to be a former military officer, 30 years. Friends with Gabby, the boss of the Israeli Defense Force. He's a wicked Zionist. His blog is so offensive, it's amazing.
Right.
Your email address, what is it?
It's, I'll paste it into Skype for you.
No, just start saying it. It should come up in my,
Oh, adalphadelta.johnson, ad.johnson, @ntlworld. com.
All right. This email here has got Bill Deagle all fired up.
Right.
It's still going. I'm going to grab a hot dog.
All righty.
Get it?
Yep, that's come through. Download it.
Now, you start from the bottom and read up. But
okay.
It's exchange. You can see what happened that caused Bernie Madoff to plead guilty. That is an email exchange between the U.S. Attorney's Office and I in New York.
Right.
Now, here's an email when Dr. Carly and I, before we got on the air.
Yeah.
I did what I could to help her and then flipped her this email. And it has that Integrity Yeah Right file attached to it.
Plus, okay.
Believe it or not, sufficient evidence to impeach Obama.
Wow.
There are three PDF files. Now,
right.
This other email, it has everybody's knickers in a knot up here. that Rick 458, I'm sending it now. This is an MP3 file attached to this particular email.
Mm-hmm.
Because it doesn't matter what I say, it's what they say that counts. And
sure.
You'll hear the voices of a couple of inspector generals of the U.S. Treasury Department, the General Counsel of the Canadian Intelligence Review Committee. But that Rick 458 is the host of that talk show that I was trying to get you to listen to about what I said about Blue Flu.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's so I sent you basically three PDF files and an MP3 file.
All right.
Now, pure hell in a handbasket is evidence of murder. And you can see you're not alone in getting it, and you can Is your email account as the take a big file?
Maximum it can take is about your computer's about 8 megabytes.
What?
That's about the maximum that my account will take in one message.
How big?
About 8 megabytes maximum.
Yeah, I can't send you a whole wiretap tape, but
Well, you can drop it into the Skype chat window if you want, and that sends it. You drag the file from your folder into the text chat window.
You can download it from the web. What I was trying to do was cover your butt in a different fashion.
Right.
It's one thing to send you a file, but it's far better to send you the same files that other people got before you, law enforcement in particular.
Mm. Right?
So you're not the first to know, and you know they know. For you just to have the evidence is one thing, but for you to have the evidence that they had the evidence first and did nothing, you know?
Yeah.
I can send you an email, let me think here. Remember I talked about that lawyer that sent the stuff to Ireland Spector? Before Alberto Gonzalez spoke there about
wiretap
taping?
Yeah.
I can send you that email if I can find it. And what it has is two WAV files. They're just snippets of the wiretap tape.
Yeah.
Just little snippets.
Right.
But I'm having a hard time. I haven't sent it out in a while.
You've got to find it.
Yeah.
Okay.
These FBI wiretap tapes have nothing to do with my family's matters, but they help to prove the public corruption, because a lot of our matters, when I come at them, they go, too bad, so sad, the time frame is passed where you can address it, but there's no statute of limitations on the crime of murder. You know what I mean?
Sure. Yeah, so yeah.
As soon as they go, well, yeah, you're right, but you're fucked anyway, and I go, no, fuck you back, have evidence of murder. You know what I mean?
I
kind of pull it out of the bag when need be. Here we go. You're going to love this one. Looking for this and saw something else because you're worried about the swine flu.
Yeah, but I'm not so much worried about the flu, you know, but more the way that it's being used to control people's minds. That's kind of my biggest worry.
It's just fear mongering.
Yeah, basically. I think the problem is it's so, the sorts of things you're describing, you know, you've really been fucked over for it, basically. It's obviously one expression that probably doesn't cover it, but it's so pervasive, you know, and it's so bad.
Yeah.
And people can't see it.
Yeah, I know.
And it's just like, I've got my beer, I've got my six pack, I've got my TV, now fuck off and leave me alone.
Exactly right. While we were talking, I got an email. The title of it, Dave put the barrel in your mouth and pulled the trigger. That's that Zionist I was trying to tell you about.
The blog guy.
Yeah, but apparently my calls to Parliament today have been quite upset. I just forwarded the email to you. It's pretty funny.
Yeah.
But that's politicking. right? I sent you another email there. The title was, "The United States Center for Disease Control Appears to Be Nervous." You see that one?
You just download that. Now, I've got the gun in your mouth one. I've got the here's some things. Stuff that I'm political pal Thompson will never talk about.
Yeah. Send and receive again.
Yeah,
address your concerns rather than mine.
All right.
As I was looking for that other email, I'll flip it to you later when I find it, but I'm trying to help you with your concerns right now in your research.
Yeah.
If you hit send and receive again, it's an email I sent out April the 14th.
Okay.
It's entitled, "Read, the United States Centers for Disease Control Appears to Be Nervous, Too." You see it?
I've got the very cheap one. I don't think it's come through yet, though.
I'm going to send it again just in case.
Sometimes it gets slightly delayed.
Yeah. I'll send it again just in case because of...
All right.
Why I deem it important...
Yeah.
...is because of the date on it, April 14th.
Okay.
That's before the swine flu broke out.
Yeah.
Right? And the United States Center for Disease Control is very much a player in this, of course. Right? And all I know nothing about the flu. Especially on April 14th. I know a lot more now, right? But we're talking about April 14th. There was no swine flu on April the 14th. Okay?
Right.
Now, who I was talking to was that young fellow, Alexander Jones. And this was before the lady Jane Burgermeister even appeared on the scene. Do you understand?
Right.
And this was 1 week after I was on Bill Beagle's radio show. And he was scared of me by then. And the only one I was talking to was Alexander Jones, and him only.
Yeah.
And anyway, I'm sending this to Bill Deagle and my farmer friend and the young fella who's in trouble. And I went, look who was worried about me this morning. Now, why on earth would the United States Centers for Disease Control be checking about what I did with the Martha Stewart matter?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because they had listened to me talk to Bill Deagle. And then if you scroll down, just minutes before that, you'll see that Alexander Jones thanked me. I said, attention, Bill Deagle, we should talk about the Canadian Food Health Inspection Agency on your show as soon as possible.
Yeah.
And then Alexander Jones says, thanks, David. They're coming after me now, trying to charge me with $6,000 in fines for $5 in unpaid bills. And then if you scroll down a little further, you can see me on that date going, I didn't attach the PDF files, but anyway, you said, Werner and I discussed this nonsense, and then I sent a link where they were lifting the restrictions on avian flu. I don't mean to tell you your business, Andrew, but that's an important email. Just have the dates.
Right.
Now,
we already got suspicious here for different reasons, because I've got a friend who lives about 10 miles away, and he's got quite a good nose for these things. He's got a better nose than I have. And we got a report in our local paper on, I think it was about March, it was about 2 weeks before the Mexico story broke. It was our local paper, and he said there was going to be this pandemic which could kill 1 in 80 people. And he actually sent this story to me, and he's saying, why have they printed this story now, you know? So we knew they were cooking something up.
Yes.
You know?
Yes, well, from what I recall about those days, and I don't pretend to know something, I don't, but if you had asked me before I talked on Bill Deagle's show, what I thought of clues, I would say I don't know.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
After I talked to Bill Deagle on April the 7th,
yeah,
that's when the RCMP pounced on us and everything else.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So the flag went up to pay attention, particularly as soon as I was done talking to Bill Deagle on April the 7th.
Yeah.
This young fellow, Alexander Jones, approached me.
Yeah.
Right? And he was telling me and sending me stuff. So,
yeah. Yeah.
I was forced. I was spoon-fed this stuff.
Mm.
You understand?
Mm. Yeah, yeah.
And all I did was forward it. So, here on April the 14th, I'm just a dumb bike mechanic, right?
Right.
Why would did you get the email yet? It says United States.
Yeah, I've got the United States Senators. Yeah.
Now you can see that I caught them on my blog, right?
Okay.
The United States Center for Disease Control. They have a Windows XP computer.
Yeah.
Now they were out of Atlanta, Georgia.
They
were there on April 14th at 10 o'clock in the morning.
Yep.
And I can tell what part of my blog that they were researching. And it had to do with me and the Bernie Madoff matter.
Okay.
Right? So that told me that they were listening to Dr. Bill Deagle's show.
Yeah.
And
all right.
Researching me. You know, that's just simple logic.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I'm armed with that knowledge. I flip it, if you see, I sent the email to Bill Deagle, both his email addresses, and Alexander Jones. Right?
Yeah.
And I said, watch out, they're nervous, right? Because why are they worried about me? Right? At the same time, young fella answers back, says, thanks, they're after me, trying to charge me $6,000, $5 unpaid bill. See that part of
the email? Okay, yeah. Right.
Now, 2 days after I talked on Bill Deagle's show, on April the 9th, right?
Yeah.
Attention, Bill Deagle, we should talk about the Canadian Food Inspection Agency, CFIA, on your show as soon as possible. Now, what it was scheduled is I talked for 2 hours. You can listen to Bill Deagle's show, because he was going to have a whole series about me.
Yeah.
But I talked to him for 2 hours on the 7th. And then he was supposed to talk to Werner Bach on the 9th for 2 hours. That's why Werner Bach got those emails too. Understand?
Right.
Instead of talking to Werner Bach, we never heard from him again, but the fucking RCMP pounced on us, and there's the proof on April the 9th.
Right.
You know what I mean? Within 2 days of talking to Bill Deagle, the RCMP were all over it. And you can see how I fought back. I sent it right to an RCMP officer and everything. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Right.
You can tell I'm not a sorry man, but what I say I do and what I do, there's the proof. There's, you know, right?
Yeah.
Now, what I'm trying to tell you is Bill Deagle is a player in this.
Oh, yeah.
And in my humble opinion, the only person worth supporting is Dr. Carley.
I agree.
However,
I'd already come to that conclusion independently for other reasons.
Yeah. However,
now what I can tell you is that a lot of these people, as well as being involved in swine flu stuff, are involved in 9/11, and they're doing the same job in both camps.
Oh, I know this.
Right, good.
Oh, yeah. Well, okay, I wrote a defense and counterclaim for Byron Pryor in Newfoundland.
Mm-hmm.
They sued him, trying to shut him up. That guy that's in the nut house now, they sued him when they thought I was screwed down the States. They pounced on him. They thought I was screwed. So then they were going to get rid of him.
Mm-hmm.
But this shit's real old, man. This shit's real old.
Yeah.
And I bet you and I will say the same name and who's behind it all. But I named the bastard. He no longer has a job. I think he's the first one in years to retire while alive. Are you familiar with the name Count Peter Hans Klovenbach?
No, I'm not familiar to me.
Huh?
No, that's not a name that's familiar to me.
Well, a lot of people talk about this shit. And they talk about it too much. And they muddy the water of it. But there's an awful truth to it.
Mm.
And they say, oh, there's no leader. You know, it's like 300 men, you know what I mean?
Right.
There's one. It's called the Black Pope.
Yeah, I've heard some of this. I didn't know the name, but I've heard bits and pieces about the Black Pope.
Well, never forget I sued Cardinal Law.
Alright, yeah.
Never forget that on December the 12th, and I can put through the documents, but I know you believe me, but on December the 12th, 2002, I filed very important affidavits in U.S. District Court in Boston, involving two lawsuits amounting to $750 million.
Right.
My family's $750 million. That said,
wow.
I filed affidavits that fucked the Catholic Church. Now, at the time, in 2002, the Catholic Church was in a world of trouble in Boston, and it still is the world over sexual abuse. Right?
Yeah.
But my lawsuit had to do with money. And the richest organization in the world, bar none, is the Catholic Church.
Yeah, a lot of it to do with that.
Well, anyway, Cardinal Law, I sued him for $4 million. That's it.
Right.
And soundly trounced his lawyers in state court. The U.S. attorney pounced on the matter. Falsely claimed that I had sued the United States of America, which I had not. I had sued three U.S. Treasury agents as individuals residing in the Massachusetts. I had not sued the U.S. government. Right? I did not know that my problem went to the Oval Office at the time. I thought I was dealing with local crooks. You understand?
Yeah.
Right. I was merely suing the guys that had tried to lock me up. After I'd give them
evidence. Yeah.
Bad people. Right?
Yeah.
So anyway, I sued Cardinal Law because it's a criminal act, Mass General Law 266. A fiduciary fails in his fiduciary responsibility to give money he holds in trust to charity. You can't be giving other people's money away. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Now, yeah. Amongst all of the things that they did in pilfering my family's assets, they give, not a lot, but they give some, but there was a tell there to the Catholic Church, a charitable organization, right? We're not Catholic.
Yeah.
And they have, like, attorney generals that are in charge of charitable organizations. I went to see the Attorney General of Massachusetts, the Assistant Attorney General, three times, Deidre Rosenberg. And I'm saying, look at this. You wouldn't let your family money go to the Catholic Church. Why would I be any different? And I'm saying to the Catholic Church, give it back. Of course, they're laughing at me because my wife's cousin is Cardinal Law's secretary. And his cousins and ours are the ones stealing the kids of the Catholic Church. I had to sue them. Right? Yeah. But they didn't think I could win. Well, I did. Easily.
Yeah.
They were prima facie complaints. Evidence attached. Yeah. Did they give them to the church or not? Did she assent to it? No. Like, what the fuck? You know what I mean? Give the money back. Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So I beat Cardinal Law's lawyers in state court, and the U.S. attorney removed it and edited out Cardinal Law from the complaint. He was no longer a litigant.
Wow.
And then they destroyed everything that I had done in state court pertaining to Cardinal Law. Okay? And then the U.S. Yeah. attorney did the most incredible thing. Not only did he edit out Cardinal Law, but he also edited out my wife and children. He even got rid of plaintiffs. And then he filed an ex parte motion to dismiss the complaints without serving it upon us. Very illegal. You imagine?
Wow.
A judge can't talk, or a lawyer, you can't talk to another matter unless all parties are involved. To try to have a lawsuit dismissed without notifying the plaintiffs? How stupid is that? And he didn't think I knew about it. I did. Now this is where the plot thickens. At the same time, I'm involved in other lawsuits in other courts. One of the attorneys that I was suing, that was now in federal court, I know this sounds complicated, was our court-appointed trustee in another court because I'd had the Kickhams removed as our trustee because of their fraud. And he was so sure that the U.S. attorney was going to pull off this ex parte motion to dismiss, he never even answered me. He was months in default. Right? So anyway, I'm talking to him on the phone before we go to court. He says he's not coming because he's not summoned. And I said, I don't know. I say, $16 million says you should come. And he goes, what are you talking about? I said, you're in default. You're months in default. And he's laughing at me. And I said, what? You don't think I know about the U.S. attorney's motion? And his voice squeaked. Right?
Yeah.
And then we're summoned to this court, and I filed motions telling the judge, you can't hear this. We are suing you in another court. You have an interest in the outcome. She wanted to hear it anyway. Our court-appointed trustee, who she appointed to cover everything up, appeared in court even though he wasn't summoned, and spilled the beans, and even told of some of the things I had filed in confidence with the U.S. Treasury Department.
Incredible.
Everybody had a heart attack. Meanwhile, Cardinal Law's lawyers are so stupid, the ones that I had embarrassed in state court, I figured work once, might as well work twice. I tell them, by way of documentation, that Cardinal Law should be dancing a jig, because I only sued for $4 million, but he has the chance to make an $8 million profit off my lawsuit. Pay me $4 million, sue you guys for $12 million, because you fucked up. You answered in the wrong court. It's been removed to federal court, and you answered in state court. I already beat you fair and square in federal court, dummies, right? So Cardinal Law could have made $8 million off the complaint, you understand? These lawyers were so quick to cover their butts, they went down and answered in federal court in a complaint where their client, Cardinal Law, no longer existed. Everybody had a fucking heart attack. Can you hear me?
Wow.
Now,
yeah, I can hear you.
That's a Hollywood movie in itself, because people keep saying, you should write a book. I said, well, why don't I make it through life first? I mean, life is more important than fiction. But you understand that this all come out, why would I bullshit a man I'm probably never going to meet in real life? But
I believe you.
But this is absolutely incredible. This is in 2002. Now, this is before the war in Iraq started. You understand? This is the important part.
Yeah.
Because about that time, I'm hiding in the woods in Canada with a dog and a gun not too far from where I am right now. Death threats are rolling in. I've got this ex parte motion. Our court-appointed trustee has spilled the beans about tax fraud. They're all fucked, right? Well, when you can prove tax fraud in one court while suing the feds about it in federal court over $750 million, you're fucking like, you ain't worth 10 cents. And if nobody's going to pursue this, I'm the only guy, right? So they got to get rid of me. Logic says get out of Dodge. And as soon as senator's plane went down, I got out of Dodge. I remember the day. It was Senator Wellstone. His plane went down in up for re-election, and Ted Kennedy canceled out at the last minute getting on the plane. And I remember that other fellow that was running against Ashcroft, the former governor that was running against Ashcroft, when his plane went down, he won the election even though he was dead. Ashcroft was so hated, they elected a dead man, so his wife had to go sit in the Senate for 2 years until he had another election. So when they killed Wellstone, they killed him and his wife too. And I said, they killed that fucker, I'm dead too, I got out of Dodge. Because I'd already proved tax fraud in a probate court while suing him in federal court. Like, I got out of Dodge. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So anyway, now I've got cases of these documents, and I'm looking at them, and then the light dawns in my marble head why the U.S. attorney was acting so bad. We live in Milton, Massachusetts, same time where George H.W. Bush was born. I've blown the bank where the Bushes washed their money through, too. The president of that bank, one town, Brookline, Massachusetts, one bank, one town.
Mm-hmm.
The president of that bank makes more money than the president of the Bank of America. Who owns half the bank? Putnam Investments. Who owns Putnam Investments? Marsh McLuhan.
Yeah.
Putnam Investments controlled all the retirement funds of all the bureaucrats of Massachusetts, Texas, California, Vermont, you name it. Of course they had to get rid of me. Then, the Senate Banking Committee hearing that disappeared, that's about Putnam Investment. You understand? Now this is where the plot really thickens. Amongst the people that I was taking on in 2003, as the trial was coming up and stuff, was David Offhauser. David Offhauser was the general counsel of the U.S. Treasury Department. When I sent him my stuff in May of 2003 after they tried to take me to Cuba, and then again in the fall, he quit.
Mm-hmm.
He quit as general counsel of the Treasury Department. And then he resurfaced about 6 months later as general counsel of UBS, the big Swiss bank. Now, you remember Putnam Investments?
It's not a name I know, but...
Well, no, just remember that I say it.
Yeah, sure.
They lost their shirt over that hearing and everything.
Okay.
Well, guess who bought them? A huge Canadian company called Power Corp. And they're powerful. Okay? They're the fellas running Canada. But don't you discount Power Corp. They are huge. And don't you think Canada isn't powerful when it comes to money?
Mm.
That said, Power Corp owned the French oil company that did the oil for food deal with Saddam Hussein. Do you remember when, after they took Baghdad, the soldiers were rooting around, they found rooms full of brand new Federal Reserve notes? Do you remember those days?
Vaguely.
But you never heard nothing more about it after that, did you?
No.
What is brand new Federal Reserve notes sequential doing in Baghdad, not in a bank, a place that was embargoed? Who put it there? And whose money was it?
Good question.
Oh, I know the answer. I know. The same banking committee that covered up my matters covered it up. Power Corp owned the French oil for food oil company. They paid Saddam by way of UBS, the Swiss bank.
Mm.
The money comes from Federal Reserve to the bank to Baghdad.
Mm-hmm.
There it is. And it's Power Corp, my native land, involved. We did not go to Iraq because it was noble. We went because it didn't behoove the financial interests of Power Corp. Now, Power Corp has a huge grip on the UN. You understand I know way too much about too many things?
I couldn't say that.
But that said, Dave Alfauser just got prosecuted last summer, right after they locked me up in the loony bin, tried to lock me up a second time. They've never managed to keep me locked up. And after I get out of the lockups, it never happens.
Yeah.
I remember, the last time they tried to lock me up, they had this little fellow from Mexico. The RCMP told him a bullshit story, so he put me in under Section 10 to have me observed for 3 days.
Yeah.
So about five men tackled me, twist my arms. One took this arm quite a while to recover. Injected me with drugs and locked me up in a loony bin. And then I pick up the phone when I see I can use a phone, and I have a friend come in with a pile of documents, and then everybody all of a sudden understands who my sister is.
Yeah.
My sister is a lawyer in the government, is a patient advocate for the medical health care system, and then my good friend is deputy minister in charge of mental health. But this dumb doctor doesn't know that. He just believed the idiot RCMP officer that tried to have me locked up. And now they got me full of drugs, and I'm mad and went ahead, and my sister's calling saying, whatever David tells you, you believe him. And the head nurse comes in and says, I was talking to your sister, and I said, well, what business is it with her? You know? And she said, well, Nancy said I should believe you. And I said, well, she's a smart girl. I said, have you got a lawyer? She goes, my husband's a lawyer. And I said, I think you should call your husband. She goes, why? I said, you need him. She goes, why? I said, I'm going to sue everybody. She goes, what do you mean? I said, well, I ain't saying nothing because none of this is none of your business, but I'll tell you, you should Google me and find my website called Scrib and start printing documents and give them to your husband. So she comes up with a printout of my website or where I store files and Scrib. And she goes, which files? And I said, this one. She starts printing them and fills up my file inside the hospital. It didn't cost me one piece of paper. Meanwhile, my buddy comes in, gives me a pile of paper, and then this little fella, all the doctors here in Canada are all immigrants, and this little fella from Mexico, he comes in and he thinks he's just going to rubber stamp me and send me up the river, right? But by the time he turned up, the head nurse had already printed a bunch of my documents, and she'd asked me, she said, would you do me a favor? And I said, what's that? She said, would you allow me to admit you to the hospital? And I said, if I did that, I truly would be nuts, wouldn't I? and then the doctor comes in, and he's having a look at the file, and see, you understand that a lot of people don't know when to shut up.
Yeah. You know?
But the last thing you should do is give them the rope to hang you. I don't say much. And I told him, I said, plain and clear, before he admitted me, I said, the RCMP are playing you like a fiddle, buddy. And he said, what do you mean? I said, talk to your lawyer, because I just quit talking. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Anyway, he comes in, he tries to do his interview, and I said, well, you asked the question, so I go give him the documents that his nurse has already printed. And honest to God, that shrink from Mexico had an anxiety attack right in front of me. I'm inside of his nut house, and he's the one that had the panic attack. It was too fucking funny. I never saw him again. I said, where are you going? And he said, I got to go outside. And he had his huff out. He said, I'll be back. Never saw the little bastard again. And he's in charge of mental health for the province of fucking New Brunswick. Anyway, the five men tackled me again, hold me down, more drugs. The next day, this Russian comes in. He was educated in Ukraine. His name was Bannock. Dr. Bannock. He comes in, he says, I'm your doctor now. And I said, oh, that's interesting. How do you do? He said, you are definitely not crazy, but you think way outside the box. And I said, would you care to put that in writing? He said, no way, you're out of here. And everything I just told you never happened. But it happened because I got the little fellow from Walla Harris signature. And while I was in the lockup, the feds and everybody was so sure that I was finally done in, not one, but three blogs were talking about me being in the loony bin because everybody hates me so bad while I was locked up. And when I come out and I saw those blogs, I said, what part of this don't you understand? Mental health is under the Mental Health or the Health Act, and I have my right to privacy whether I'm nuts or I have cancer. You're all fucked now. Can you imagine?
Yeah.
Huh? And it just goes on and on and on, Andrew. But the problem is I've roped in so many people over so many issues. And the email I got from you today, what piqued my interest in what you did, you cut and pasted my email addresses and forwarded your concerns to them. Do you see where you emailed some RCMP officers and stuff?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, well, you...
Because I basically, all I did was... I've kept some messages from that swine flu exchange a few weeks ago.
Yeah, and I know what you did because I looked at it and just giggled. But if you check your first email to me today and how I responded, you can see how I covered your butt. Just have a look at your just have a look at your first email.
Yeah, I think you put, do you know who I am?
Yeah, because I asked you the obvious question, right? But your first email to me,
right? Yeah.
You sent it to, it was obviously a cut and paste of one of my email addresses.
Yeah.
And you had sent it to me, Elder, Jane Burgermeister, various people.
Loads of others, yeah.
But do you see your CC line?
No. I'll have to go and look at it again.
Yeah, you really should. But this is the main reason for the call.
I'll go and find it. Can't remember which one it was, because I think it has loads of people. Just see. Is it that one? No, it wasn't that one. I sent about 10 copies of it.
Want me to send it back to you?
No, I've got it here. I've got it now.
Alright, it's the first email to me today. You sent it to me, the crowd, and in the CC line you sent it to the FBI in Germany?
Oh, excellent.
No, that's my email address.
Alright.
That was protecting Jane Burgermeister.
Right.
You sent it to Patrick Murphy, the Department of Homeland Security.
Great.
You sent it to Dean Buzza. Do you have any idea who Dean Buzza is?
Never heard of him.
I'll tell you who he is. He's in charge of Internet Market Enforcement Team.
Great.
You see who Paulette Delaney Smith is?
No, Paulette never heard of him. Smith?
I sent you an email with an MP3 file attached.
Yeah.
Perhaps you should listen to that MP3 file. You will hear Paulette Delaney's voice.
Okay.
She's an RCMP officer who sued the RCMP.
Cool.
And I said, uh-oh, Mr. Johnson has no idea what kind of can of worms he just opened up. Because here's the important part.
Yeah.
Dean Buzza, Paulette Delaney Smith, and the FBI in Germany are all blocking my emails.
All right.
The DHS want to know everything. But the FBI and the RCMP are playing dumb. So even though I send out those emails, I know they're not getting them because they bounced back. They have me blocked.
Sure.
However, you sent them, so they can't deny. They lost their deniability.
All right. I see what you're saying.
So now that they know that you know, and they know that I know because I turn around and back you up.
Okay.
You understand?
Mm-hmm.
Because the first thing you did was showed me a little integrity.
All right.
You proved to me you're honest and you got a friend for life. You understand me?
Well, let me tell you what all those fuckers need to know, right? All those fuckers, everyone needs to know what the fuck is going on this planet, right? And what's going on this planet has to do with how the towers were destroyed on 9/11. Now, I wrote to 70 military bases in this country in December last year, and I wrote to them to tell them that nuclear weapons were obsolete. And I told them that they were obsolete because of what happened in the way that the towers were destroyed.
I know what
happened to the towers. And I told them that there was a hurricane parked outside New York City.
You're talking, you're Judy Wood. That's what,
correct.
That's what she says. I've talked to her.
Good. Good. I got a visit.
She's close.
I got a visit.
She's close, but no cigar. I know what happened.
No, we know what did it. We know the technology. And we know that we're right on because we've been attacked, not in quite the way that you have, but we haven't been physically assaulted, but we've been character assassinated.
Oh,
over
I know. But what Judy Wood says about happening to the towers, she's very close, but no cigar.
Well, that's very well for you to say that, but...
You want to know what happened? You want to know?
You can tell me if you want to tell me.
Oh, sure, I'll tell everyone. Scalar weapon.
Scalar has no meaning. We know it was the Hutchison effect.
Huh?
We know the guy that has developed the technology to do it. And he submitted an affidavit in the court case.
Well,
you know.
Do you remember?
Forget Tom Bearden. Tom Bearden used to work for the U.S.
Yes,
Cyclotronic.
I know who he is. I know who he is. Do you remember him talking about that plane full of soldiers that went down in Newfoundland?
I haven't heard him tell that story.
Yeah, I was over in Newfoundland when it happened. They were returning from Beirut.
All right.
It was back about 1989, I think it was. I happened to be in Gander at the time. And the Yankees were pulling out of Beirut because they had a bomb in there and stuff, right? And there was a plane doing a stop in Newfoundland full of American troops. And anyway, they refueled or whatever and took off from Newfoundland, and they just got airborne. They were delayed by a storm or whatever, and they just got airborne, and the thing blew up right over Gander.
All right.
And this was 1989. Anyway,
okay.
The Americans come up and just like... You think it was their fucking country. They just sort of said, this is our plane, and we're doing the investigation.
Oh, yeah.
It's our airspace, our crash, you know what I mean? But no, it was a huge cover-up. But the newbies aren't stupid. Like, they've used Newfoundland as a way station since before World War II. I mean, you know, right?
Right.
The Yankees said the newbies didn't know how to de-ice the plane, and the plane went down. No, fucking newbies all saw it blow up in the air.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? But that isn't in the media. It ain't in the media. But I was there.
All right.
You understand? But anyway, that said, later on, in the late 90s, we had the wonderful thing that you and I are using right now, or we'd have never met, and that's called the fucking internet.
Yeah.
And not that I'm any brainwave, but I'm a mechanic, and I'm a student of physics.
Okay.
In high school, I was accepted to Saint-Jean-Quebec. That's our, like, our West Point, you know, military college. Before graduating high school.
Mm-hmm.
I got 99 on my physics matric simply because they wouldn't give 100. And I'm the guy who disagrees with everything our physics teacher teaches us. I'm the guy that, I'm a student of Tesla.
Good.
So anyway, I'm big on free energy and all that shit. I'm an old hippie, you understand?
Okay.
And as soon as the internet come along, whack, I'm on it researching all the shit that we're not taught in school. That Lieutenant Colonel you mentioned, I studied every fucking page, every word he ever wrote about scalar weapons, about Whitmore, a British scientist, Whitmore.
Yep.
Tesla. Tesla used to do experiments like that all the time. He talked about different frequencies and stuff like that. All of this, I even downloaded all of Tesla's files from the FBI. I studied Tesla like crazy. You know, this was before all this legal shit went on. You understand?
Yeah.
I'm much into that kind of stuff. Anyway, what has a lot of people afraid of me is they know one of my good friends, a very good friend, was one of the first national security agents. Name's Gene Stanley. He flew B-29s over Tokyo. He was in the same squadron as Enola Gay. He was a national security agent. They know I have friends in Bermuda. They saw where I went in 2002 and whose wedding I was invited to. They know I know a lot of people. I have friends who are Rhodes Scholars. I'm just a fucking bike mechanic, but I got an interesting circle of friends. You understand?
Sure.
For instance, one of my friends, you know, the Canada arm on the space shuttle?
Alright.
He invented it. You don't see him and I argue physics. I can't get him to admit that Tesla invented the induction motor. He still says it was George Westinghouse. And I said, holy fuck, are you ever a player, Carl? But then Carl will turn around and tell me things that nobody else knows. Because he worked for NASA.
Right.
You remember Krista McAuliffe?
Yes, I do.
The school teacher in space, what's it called? Challenger blew up there? I think that was the name of it. Challenger?
Yeah. That's the one.
I was before her husband in New Hampshire. He's a federal court judge in New Hampshire. As soon as she got killed, he got appointed judge. I got two matters before him. I ripped that lawyer a new fucking asshole. Yeah. You know what happened to the Challenger? I'll tell you. Everybody knew that, like, NASA was running out of funding, and Reagan wanted the thing up in the air, right? But they were having a bad string of weather in Florida. And Carl worked with NASA, you understand? This is inner gossip, you understand? But if you understand physics and you just look at things, like, we watched the buildings go down, we all knew what happened, instantly. But, and I was involved with the 9/11 Commission, by the way, and that Senator Kerry, and that fucking Lee Hamilton. I've been involved in that, and that farmer asshole that just came out with his book. That really pissed me off. I'd send you some emails. I dealt with that fucking farmer asshole in the 9/11 Commission. I did. But anyway, the Challenger, I think they made the solid boosters there in Texas. And these guys are engineers. They know their business. And, you know, metal expands, shrinks, you know, the heat. Everybody knows that, right? And they said, no, you know, it's not safe. Won't be enough pressure on the seals. And then they crunch the numbers, and they thought, well, you know, if we have a problem, it'll be out of the gate, because it's just like putting your finger through a candle. You do it real fast, you know, you won't burn. So they thought, if they're going to have a problem, they'll have it out of the gate when it first takes off. And that big tank where they hold the other fuel, it's a tank within a tank, and it has an inert gas around it, nitrogen, I think it is.
Right?
So, if the seal leaked, it would have to cover the distance from the booster to the tank, and then it would have to burn through the outer tank to get to the inner tank, right?
All right.
So they go, well, okay. We'll monitor it, and once it gets to a certain speed, there's no more problem anyway, because by the time the heat left the seal and headed for the tank would already be gone, you know, because the heat leaked.
All right.
You know, and the flame front has a certain speed, right? So anyway, they crunched the numbers and they said, well, you know, everything's a matter of political will. They want the fucking thing in the air. We'll put the thing in the air and we'll monitor it, right? Now, every shuttle has a bomb in the nose of it. You know that, right?
Yep.
You can't be letting the thing get out of control and take out Miami, right? So how are you going to stop it? You know what I mean? The important device, you press the button and blow the fucker up, right? And every astronaut knows that. You know what I mean?
Right.
So anyway, they're monitoring it. And honest to God, this is what happened. And you won't read this in the media. They're watching it. They got their cameras on it, right?
All right.
You got like camera 5, camera 7, you got the master disaster in the control center. Now, I don't pretend to know this stuff. This is what Carl told me. You know what I'm saying? But think about it. When you watch it blow up, remember all the smoke?
Yeah.
It was going in the neighborhood of, what, 10,000 miles an hour at the time?
I guess, yes, some flutter.
How would smoke get out front of it?
Good question.
Yeah. That's because the bomb went off in the nose. It's a boom, and it goes right down through the ship and takes it all out. You don't put the bomb in the tail, you put it in the nose. Right?
Okay.
No sense blowing its ass off, it's still running loose. Right?
Right.
So anyway, what it was, they're watching it on the cameras, and the guys, they got the cover off with the, you know, the aboard device, you know, the bomb, and he's going, all right, camera 5, camera 7, you know, and he's getting all the orders, but he's the master, he's the captain kind of thing, and they're getting all the orders, and they're watching it, and everything's go, everything's cool, you know, 5 seconds, 10 seconds into flight, whatever the fuck you do, right? And anyway, he says, camera 7, you know, and what he said was, blow it up, and what he meant was, zoom in.
Oh my God.
The guy misinterpreted the order. That happened.
Wow.
That happened. Now you think about what I tell you, and you remember the incident.
You know what I do. Yeah.
Now, if they were going to have a problem, it would have been out of the gate when it was first leaking and
ripped straight. Yeah, and I always thought that was strange. You might say it's. You can see something's wrong, but you don't know what it is.
All right.
And you get the story.
Yeah. Now, when 9/11 happened, my wife's head office, they used for a triage. One of her coworkers was Jane Doe number 1. And, yes, planes did go in the building because landing gear landed on top of her. You know what I mean?
Something went in, but he wasn't a Boeing plane.
A landing gear landed on top of one of my wife's co-workers.
Mm.
And she survived. She lost half her ass and everything. She was Jane Doe number 1. They thought she was dead for a couple of months. But I'm not saying those planes went in, but if you use simple logic, you must have traveled in an aircraft.
Yes.
How many times have you been on commercial airlines lately that wasn't full?
Not many.
Sebastian. Right?
Sure.
These planes weren't full.
Yeah.
There's all kinds of things, but why the build went down? I mean, they went down in 10 seconds is the rate of acceleration of gravity.
Yes.
Builds don't do that. Where's the steel? And as Judy Wood says, where's the toilets? Good question, darling. Right?
Well, correct.
It was a scalar weapon. And I remember when it happened, it was just like that Bearden or Reardon says. I remember when it happened, I was accessing Russian satellites because they said, oh, they wouldn't show the videos again. They wouldn't show you, what do they call it, the ground. They got a name for it there. But, so I was accessing Russian satellites, and there was even a Russian satellite that showed huge electromagnetic disturbance in the Pacific Ocean at the very instant the buildings went down. And all they have to do is, just like that Reardon guy says, just generate they send microwaves so you and I can talk on the radio, right? The scalar waves are just a higher frequency. You generate it, bounce it off a satellite, GPS, put it right on top of that building, and the fucking metal goes away. Just like putting a spoon in your microwave, you get sparks up the frequency. The metal went away. And yes. Like what she was saying, now she sings the praises of that Hutchison fella there in British Columbia, and yes. He is the real McCoy. He really does exist, and he's been much chastised by the government.
I know. I've spoken to him a lot.
Yeah, but
he got paid a week into submitting an affidavit for the court case.
Well,
this is something no one will talk about.
I talked to Judy Wood briefly.
Right.
Tried to speak to her lawyer in Connecticut. He ain't worth talking to.
Well, you could be right about that.
And then, I know I was involved in another matter. There was a woman named, what was her name? Elizabeth Moraney? She was from...
Lorraine Moray.
Huh?
She's part of the cover-up. Lorraine Moray, she is part of the cover-up.
No, I'm talking
She's another devil.
The lady from New Hampshire that wouldn't settle over her husband. Remember they appointed Feinberg to be King Solomon to settle all the insurance problems having to do with losses in 9/11?
I'm trying to remember her name.
Moraine.
Ellen.
She was from us. From New Hampshire.
I think
she had Philip Berg for a lawyer. I know, because it's
tough. Yeah, and her name is Ellen Mariani.
Yes. I was up to New Hampshire.
Yeah.
I took on her lawyers up there. I took on the law firm that attacked her, that went to her daughter, that stuck her nose in her husband's probate matter.
Right.
Philip Berg. Philip Berg got the same emails that Al Gore got. Not emails, hard copy. Al Gore and Neil Bush and a whole bunch of them all got the same letter. They're all on the same page. You can find them in my file. Jeb Bush, Guy Tunnell, his top cop in Florida. I like throwing people from opposite sides of the fence in the same mud puddle, and then I chuck the rocks just right. So I was talking to Berg, and I keep an address in Florida, and they kept trying to lock me up, and then they were having the trial for H. Paul Rico, and I accurately predicted his death in jail 2 months before it happened.
Wow.
And anyway, I was talking to Berg. I got an answer from Guy Tunnell. He was Jeb Bush's top cop, but I sent it to Tunnell, Berg, Neil Bush, Charles Baker, if my memory serves me right, and Al Gore. It's funny, I sent it to him in Tennessee because he just bought this little media company. And it's the only address I can get for him, so I sent it registered mail to Al Gore. And lo and behold, that's the company he made to make that bullshit movie Inconvenient Truth. Fuck, that's funny. But anyway.
That's funny.
Huh? Berg.
That is funny.
Berg, he fucked up Moraney's lawsuit, and they said it was flawed, but they never would say why. Now Berg is involved in trying to impeach Barry Obama. They're going to fuck that up, too. I took on Dr. Orly Paz, all of them. They're all full of shit.
Yeah.
You're right. There's so many disinfo agents.
Unbelievable.
But for us to sit around and say, all right, scalar weapon did it, and Judy Wood will go to court, and she will lose, mark my words. But she's not wrong. Right?
Well, they've already dismissed the appeal. So.
Huh?
They've already dismissed the appeal.
Yeah, well, there's another way around it. And I wish people would start listening to me. Like, what you got to do is fire up the common man, the great unwashed, the sheeple. Wake them up. Right? And they're fucking near there over health care, TARP bailouts, taxation. It's what causes war. Money. Taxation. Right?
Well, I've written an article. In fact, the end of my book addresses those very points.
Yeah.
Because I wrote an article called A World of Abundance or A World of Scarcity.
Yeah.
That called Awareness, A Time to Choose. So people now have to choose whether they want to go for knowledge and peace or for ignorance and war.
Oh, that's too heady for the common man. You said it earlier. All they want is a case of beer and a soccer game.
I agree. But, you know...
But how do you fire up the guy that don't want to hear it in the first place?
I don't think you can.
I don't think you can. It's called taxation. Everybody hates the tax man. If they have to pay more taxes, they can't get as much beer.
But the problem as I see it with all of this, is that there is somebody else involved in this. Somebody else who is different to us. They think differently.
Oh,
they've maybe got lifetimes of thousands of years. You know,
but that's where you and I can sit and talk in the kitchen all day long. But if we present
that
to the common man, we're a couple of nuts.
I agree.
Now, so we don't talk about that. We talk about what they want to talk about.
Well, I put it in those terms as well, but eventually, whichever terms you put it in, you know, eventually you come back to who is doing the hurting. You know, you can talk about the Zionists, you can talk about the Catholic Church, and I haven't read in detail about these things, but I have read enough. You know, I've read about the Knights Templar, the Masons, the Black Pope, the Zionists, Bilderbergers,
That's just interesting stuff to talk about, because...
Yeah.
What's two guys in two different kitchens going to do about it? Well... The thing about it is...
Well, I'll tell you what I've been doing. For the last 5 years, I've been just trying to give out discs and give out leaflets and give out information, because that's the only thing I know how to do.
All right.
Whilst at the same time allowing me to live a life with my family, you know.
Yeah.
So that's...
I commend
that's,
you for
that's
caring.
Life, you know... But it's a good question. I don't know what to do.
Just sort of leave yourself open to a crazy old bike mechanic offering. I think outside the box. Okay.
You do very much.
People are just people, and I haven't lost my faith in mankind. But
I haven't.
The affairs of the world are too much for a guy that's got to get up in the morning, go to work, fight with the boss, come home, fight with the wife, try to feed the kids, and slip a beer and get to bed and do the same thing, and then try to get to the hockey game on the weekend, right? They ain't got time. They might sit down and watch an interesting show that PBS gives you, right? But they ain't got time for that shit. However, they vote, some of them. Right? And when they vote, their votes, the lion's share of the time, are not based on ethical consideration. They will take their best bet. I'm talking about the lion's share, not every man, right? But they'll vote according to how it affects their personal pocketbook.
For instance, yes, that's true.
In this county here, except for one election, if you put a blue coat on the dog, it will get elected in this riot. Because the people in control of this particular area are all conservatives, and the money flows in that way, and everybody works, got to keep their job, whatever. You know what I mean? Right?
Now, I do know what you mean. It's the same here.
Now and then, it's the same the world over.
Yeah.
And people are afraid to speak up for fear their cousin might lose a job, or their uncle's a bureaucrat, or they don't want to offend anyone, or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, I've come to another different view, though, since about a year ago. My view started to change before that. But when I look up in the sky now and see the sky being engineered on a daily basis...
I know. But you tell your friends to look at the chemtrails?
Whatever you do on the ground, whatever you vote, however you encourage people to vote...
Yeah. All right.
People will say we don't exist or will just ignore us.
All right.
If we talk about weather being engineered...
What point
is there to any public policy or any financial policy?
To you. Okay? Now, people in your neighborhood don't want to shake... the tree in their neighborhood because you don't shit where you eat. Right?
True.
However, you see where a Canadian sent you a letter from the Attorney General of New York, Senator John McCain, okay, the Department of Homeland Security, and the Deputy Prime Minister of Canada. Not one thing related to your country.
True.
You mean I got your country covered. I got your country covered by way of the UN. However, people in your neighborhood might not want to talk about things that would upset things in their neighborhood, but talk about Bernie Madoff, the economy, and some crazy Canadian in another country who's going to sue the Queen. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
Might be a good source of gossip. Now, they go, who is this nut Dave Amos? And you go, well, here's a letter from the Department of Homeland Security, the complaint number, and here's Senator John McCain, and here's Elliot Spitzer. Google them. But have a look at this. This is from the Governor General of Canada inviting him to sue the Queen. Have a look at the documents in that file. Right? Do you know how much it costs to sue the Queen?
I've no idea.
$2. $2. But can I get anywhere near court? Every time I go there, the cops pounce on me. Now, these people in New Zealand, or quite possibly you in England, if I can get people in England and New Zealand talking about a province in a Canada that they never heard of, New Brunswick, that puts the spotlight on the cockroaches in New Brunswick. Now, that Globe and Mail article that I sent you, it mentions that New Brunswick is the only province that's going to go ahead with this swine flu bullshit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you read the article, you read where that... You click on the links and see that the bastard that's trying to have me locked up is the guy that's behind it. And there you are in England, and you've already introduced yourself to Paulette Delaney Smith and Dean Buzza, you know what I mean?
That's pretty cool.
Right?
Yep.
You check my work as it pertains to what I know about the swine flu as what was given to me by all these characters, right?
Right.
See, what I tried to do to make it well known that I was kind of indignant at what this local asshole was trying to do and how he responded, you know what I mean? And then you write an article in your own words, your own assessment, and I won't put words in your mouth, you decide what's true or false, about this particular issue, about this particular asshole in this particular province. But here's a man in England writing this, who's more aware of what's going on in New Brunswick than 99.9% of all the other New Brunswickers. And you're in England.
True.
Right? And then, let's suppose somebody, like they're having a human bust tomorrow, And some fellas in New Zealand, they've got the same stuff you did, and they're looking at my stuff going, what the fuck, right? You know what I mean? And they could see where I was already ahead of them, and there's the ministers of the government of New Zealand acknowledged me. You understand? So they know, their ministers know about me before they knew about me, right? So now they have the question to ask is, who's this Dave Amos guy? Is he nuts or not? Because the economy is the world over. The swine flu is the world over, right? So you put this spotlight on this crazy little province called New Brunswick. Well, New Brunswick will be greatly upset if people in England and New Zealand were talking about New Brunswick. That will allow me to file my lawsuit without going to jail. That quite possibly might allow my lawsuit to clear the hurdle so it's not so easily dismissed. And today of all days, well, they probably had to vote now, and I don't know the results of it, but I'll know it in a minute, but I'll bet you that Mr. Harper's government stood and that the NDP sold out.
Probably.
But you watch how I handle that. You know what I mean? But I know I'm big feeling, big talking, but you don't win the war without that attitude. You know? But I have nothing to lose and everything to regain. And if you study the art of war, that gives me the advantage. They've done their worst and I'm still standing. And I'm the only guy I know that they ain't locked up yet. Not that it couldn't happen tonight, but even if you decide to never mention my name, rest assured, they know who you are because you emailed them.
I've had visits already for different reasons.
Yeah. But not to discount Judy Wood, I like her. Okay? Or Dr. Carly. I like her too. But they're so channeled in their own particular issues.
Yes, that's true.
You can't see the forest for the trees.
The forest as I see it is this. That if you look at the issues we've covered and others, it's a global control grip by somebody. And they're very good at keeping their identity hidden, whoever they are.
Well,
maybe more than one group, there may be several groups. I don't really know who they are. What I do know is that somebody pushed a button on 9/11 to destroy those towers or switch the control panel or something. Ah. And I would like to know who did that. But I don't know. But ultimately,
Zionist.
I don't know. I don't know if it was Zionist.
Yes,
it was. Could have been Zionist.
Yeah.
Yeah. People think it's Zionist.
Have you ever heard of the Elders of Zion?
Yes, I have.
These bastards want to bring on Armageddon. They're fucking Satanists, man.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like they're pure evil through and through. They don't even begin to think like us.
Mm.
They're fucking evil.
I agree.
You know what I mean?
They're actually,
but, yeah. Are you a father?
Yes.
Do you remember how the world changed for you when you looked in your baby's eyes? You know, like...
It's more gradual for me, I think. I didn't really think that my daughter was actually born 10 weeks early, so it was a bit of a worrying, troubling time, because we didn't know if she was going to be survive.
I had the same problem with my son. He was 7 weeks early. But the last thing...
Yeah, I take your point.
Yeah, well, when you look in that little soul's eyes, there's more there than a piece of meat.
Yeah.
And where did that soul come from? And I'm not a bit religious. But, like...
The soul came from the thing that we're part of.
Yeah, there's a whole lot more to everything than
correct.
The words and tunes we can give them.
Yes. Precisely.
And if you watch that child, as I studied mine, because I was a Mr. Mom, right? Those babies and this dog at my feet are more in tune to the real world than you and I are. We become jaded and tune things out. And
is that how much? This is my question, you see, which I've developed through studying all of this. How much of it have we done by choice, and how much have we been persuaded into doing that? And in terms of that, I mean, how much is it that we've taken away our souls from, you know, this sort of natural background, or however you want to describe it? You know, how much is it something we've done of our own free will, and how much is it that we've been conned into doing? You know,
well,
see what I mean?
People say you watch TV, and I go, no. I select what I want to watch and read and do, but I definitely look at the world different than a lot of folks. But I revel in it. As hard as times as it is for me right now, I find some fun in this madness, as I told you. You know?
I think my year probably told you.
These people who think that they can lord it over us all are afraid of us.
Yeah, that's true.
And what they're afraid of is us becoming enlightened. And this internet is going to...
Exactly.
This internet
exactly.
is going to go by the wayside. Like that fellow that put up YouTubes and they knocked him down before he had 30 viewers, like, that's standard operating procedure with me. Anybody that takes an interest in me, they... Like, the whole thing is controlled, but... if you can pick up the phone or go meet somebody and talk them in the eye, they can't stop that just yet. But 90% of the population, you drive down the street and you see that blue glow coming from the living room window. So they go to work all day and then they sit there and you get the whatever Big Brother wants you to know through the boob tube. You know what I mean? And people are just people. All they want to do is just get through life and have as much fun as possible, pursue the happiness and all that. It's kind of like lambs to the slaughter. They trust the farmer. You know what I mean?
It is.
Huh?
That's what it is.
Mm. But if we can wake up the herd, like you take my farmer friend with 100 head, he walks around blustering and ordering them, and the cattle go along with his plan. But them cattle just thought about it 10 seconds. They could run Werner over for a joke. You know what I mean?
So it's true.
And what we got to do is upset the cattle. Now, with the cattle, how you can get them pretty yancy is take away the hay. Right? They get hungry, they get irritable. This problem with the taxation and the banker bailouts, in Canada right now, 7 months of the year goes to the tax man. There will be a tipping point. At what point do you not work? Are you there?
I'm here.
Yeah. If you look at all those... ships parked in the Baltic Sea and everything, there's huge fleets of ships, there's no trade going on. Things are going to get bad to worse as far as the economy goes.
Mm-hmm.
Food and water is going to become an issue in short order. I'm glad I am where I am. You should be so lucky. You know what I mean? But, if, and I would say we only have less than a year, maybe only a couple of months. If they start a war with Iran, Jesus Christ, it's going to get real bad. But
they tried to do that a few years ago, though, and it didn't work. They tried to do that in 2007.
I think they're having the meeting today, aren't they, or is it tomorrow? This is today.
I don't know.
I think they're meeting today, and the Russians are telling them, and the Chinese are saying, back off.
Wait, what? They tried to set up an incident with the British in 2007, and the press got hold of it. And there's a friend of mine wrote an article about all the lies that the media were putting out.
Yeah.
You know, it was a complete setup. The woman who was kidnapped had been interviewed 2 hours before she was kidnapped. Taken off the dinghy.
Yeah.
She'd been interviewed by the BBC on the boat 2 hours before she was taken as a hostage.
Yeah.
And so we wrote to the media, I basically said to them, you are being complicit in trying to start a war with Iran. I didn't put it in those terms, but that's what I wrote to them. And I sent that to a load of my friends and told them to send the same email to all these media addresses. And 3 days after we sent that message, the hostages were released and they were brought home. Nothing happened.
I'm not a fan of anybody, you know, when it comes to politicians, but I listen. And that president of Iran, I think it was Germany he went to, and he made a little bit of speech, but there were some Jewish folks there and stuff. And what he said is he'd like to wipe Zionism off the map, and then they mistranslated it and said Israel.
Correct.
And then, even though it was well known that it was a deliberate mistranslation, it was mere propaganda, months afterwards, politicians were still reiterating life Israel. Like, the leader of the Liberal Party at a benign birth meeting said, wipe Israel up now. And not even what he said. He said Zionism, and there's a difference. But,
were you aware of the story that, that president bears a resemblance to somebody who was involved in the hostage crisis in the 70s.
I kind of figured he was anyway. But
yeah,
do you remember it was a Canadian diplomat that got them out of there?
Oh, was it? I didn't know that.
Yeah. Remember Bush went to Paris and paid them not to and did the Iran-Contra deal?
Right.
Remember North and everybody got in trouble over that?
Yeah.
And remember Jimmy Carter tried to get him out and they fucked up and had helicopters burned and everything?
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, and then a Canadian diplomat kind of got them out the back door. And I remember I was down in Daytona. I'm a biker, right? You know, I'm a biker gang. I was down in Daytona there. I remember when that happened. Like, just because I was Canadian, geez, you couldn't buy a drink. You know, Canada was instant hero for getting the hostages out of Iran or whatever. But anyway, all that said, whether he's a good guy or a bad guy, we all got to be fair here, and you got to kind of ignore what the Western media says and read what all media says, and then try to get to the bottom yourself, and then see what he does. And the thing about it is, I remember, was it last year? He came to the UN, and then he went to Columbia University and debated the professors and the students.
Mm.
Can you imagine George Bush going to Tehran and doing that? And he was trying to, stick his hand up and trying to explain his position, right? And then, I'm not a fan of Chavez either, right?
Yeah.
But at least he comes to New York and speaks his mind and holds up books. You know, Noam Chomsky and I crossed paths with Noam Chomsky. He lives next town over where I live. I remember he invited me to one of his speeches, and then the puppy was too scared to talk to me, so I served all his people and took on his lawyer, Paul Saba. But it seems that everybody's got an agenda, and you don't. I don't. Are you selling anything? I'm not selling.
Not really.
Huh?
I sell my disc for about whatever it works out to be, $1 each.
I'm not selling, I'm just telling. And I'm doing it to protect my own dumb asses and my children. And the thing about it is how can I protect my kids without protecting yours, because they're all in this together?
Mm.
You know? And
I think the thing which I feel very much in the system is now, you either got to be with the system or with the program or not.
Well, yes, I concur, and it's some hard to get supper. I've been living off the milk of human kindness for 5 years just out of people that love me.
Yeah.
I'm blessed with many friends. I'm very proud. But everywhere I go, they torture my friends. This house here where I'm at last fall, a year ago exactly, two RCMP officers come right into my friend's house without warrants or anything trying to pick a fight with me. And the only thing that stopped them that night wasn't me, and it wasn't my friend. It happened that his girlfriend was sitting on the couch, and she's an Indian, and she works for the Department of National Defense, and they couldn't explain roughing her up. Sometimes I get lucky. I think I'm born under a lofty star. You know what I mean? Bad bastards.
And I think certain people seem to be protective in certain ways. Obviously, you know, you've had a lot. I mean, you're protected from being killed somehow.
I think so. I think there's more to it than meets the eye.
Yeah, it's not just like physical protection. It's not a... It's the same. You know Judy Wood? Do you know what happened to her?
No.
She was hit by a truck travelling 80 miles an hour when she was on a pedal bike. She was in a coma for 6 years.
Wow.
That was in the 80s. 52 well, operations.
There when I was a child, but that was because I had that encephalitis shit.
Yeah, right. But, well, there you go. That's your example.
But the thing about it, most people died from it. But the thing about it is Judy would care.
She does.
She cares. You say she's lost her legal argument?
Well, you dismissed the case, but it's not the end of it.
I sent her my stuff, talked to her briefly, but I couldn't talk to her. You know what I mean?
Mm.
And I won't bother somebody that don't want to listen. And she has enough. She has enough on her table. But she received the same emails that you got, and I doubt she even looked at them.
I see.
Because, you know, people are so challenged in their own... But
yes.
If you get a chance to listen to those radio shows, there was a show, I think I called it a Jim's Talk Show. I've got the link to it. But you can even ask him, how come this show wasn't aired? Like, what it was is he tried to put me on the air like Dr. Carly, right after Dr. Carly did, within a couple of days.
Yeah.
And couldn't do it. He started the show a couple times, but they kept interfering with it, and they shut it down. So he said he was really pissed because he was being attacked by the Secret Service too. So anyway, I said, here's what you do. I said, call me up. Just call me up on the phone and tape the conversation, and then air it. You know, have the file, and then present the file on your website, if nothing else. Because it was right before July the 4th and the Tea Party, and everybody was amped up about taxation, and I said, all the people everywhere are going to all these politicians' offices and bitching about taxation and all that and everything else. You have your circle of friends and fan clubs. Take just a couple of those documents pertaining to me and the tax man, and... put it in their hands, like just a couple of pieces of paper. Everybody's got a printer these days. And if one person does it, yeah. But if 50 people do it to one congressman, if they do it to all of these tea parties all over the country, if one congressman says my name in the public record, I'll handle the legal argument. But geez, it's hard to get this ice cap off of my name. So anyway, we had this conversation that he recorded. And you'll see it in one of the emails I sent you where I said, please, if nothing else, listen to the first part of the show, but the other show's down further. It's called Jim's Talk Show.
Mm.
Well, he recorded a conversation, sent to the MP3 pile, but never aired it. And I talked to him this weekend, and he wouldn't give me a straight answer as to why he wouldn't air it. And but anyway, the conversation there, where he and I talk about the government and taxation and stuff before Tea Party, what I was trying to address to him there in that hour applies everywhere. You know?
Yeah.
And an ordinary man that... I speak very plainly, and I'm not a sophisticated talker in any way, shape, or form. But the way I talk and how I talk, and I know because people have commented many times, ordinary folks understand me easily.
Yes.
Yeah.
Sure.
I don't talk over your head, I talk simple truth.
Absolutely.
Huh?
That's what makes you dangerous.
Yeah. I'm kind of like the Will Rogers of it. People call me Forrest Gump. I come back at him and I go, well, stupid is as stupid does. You know what I mean? Right? You know, they call me many names, and I wish they would say it in a public way.
Yeah, true.
You know what I mean? But Judy Wood is far better known than I.
That may be true, yeah, probably true.
But if you have her ear, and she knows Dr. Carly.
She does, yeah. She's been on Dr. Carly's show as well.
Yeah, I know. And Dr. Carly is the one that told us to talk to her about directed energy weapons. If you go to my YouTubes, remember I said I was on Fuller's Farm?
Right.
There was a reason I was on his farm. He was being much attacked by directed energy weapons.
Okay.
He lost 270 head of cattle. So anyway, I landed on the farm and I videotaped it and put it up on YouTube. And they immediately killed his YouTube. But three of his YouTubes are still in my channel. You have a look and tell me what's wrong with them cattle. You explain that. We didn't even call the police. I just put YouTubes up and they came in force. I even videotaped that. What's happening to his cattle? It's fucking amazing. Now, he's so certain of what it is, and that's why he was talking on Dr. Carly's show, and you can listen to him explain it on Dr. Carly's show.
Yeah.
About directed weapons, because Dr. Carly wanted him to talk to Judy Wood.
Well, I'm familiar with... can you describe the cattle? What happened to them with their organs drilled out of them? And
oh, like... we do autopsies on them. I've had the police take one calf right to another province while it was still warm. It's incredibly weird. What he says, okay, now you can talk to him all day. Can you use Skype to call a land phone, or do you have to pay, or what?
Yes, I can. Yeah, no, so yeah.
Here's his phone number. 506.
756-8687.
And his name is Werner Bock. WERNERBOCK. Now, I won't put words in his mouth, but I will say what he's told me. But the thing about it is I only deal with facts.
Yeah.
Okay? And what I can argue in a court. Now, the number one thing, they used to hang people that fucked with cattle. It's 5 years in jail, section 444 of the Canadian Criminal Code. Fuck with cattle, 5 years in jail. Okay? That's the law.
All right.
Now, number one, he's a farmer. This is his livelihood. Okay?
Yeah.
It should concern the Minister of Agriculture why this man would lose so many cattle. This is his life.
Sure.
If it's something in the environment killing the cattle, should concern the Minister of Environment.
Yeah.
I've watched these cattle die right in fucking front of me. If whatever's killing that cattle can kill me too, it should certainly consider the Minister of Health. Now, if you look at that email exchange that the one of the first I sent you, I asked you, did you read my stuff? You will see that the RCMP officer, Warren McBeth, didn't want to talk about my issues of financial crimes and false imprisonment The only thing he wanted to talk about was my cattle, because I lost 3.
Right.
Right? Now, here's what Werner says. Now, I've tackled them all. I said, this is not my fucking job. There's an Animal Health Act. There's a Canada Food Health Inspection Agency, those guys that try to put us in jail. These animals are going in the food chain. Right? Somebody better be paying attention here. And what gives me particular power is I'm well known, very well known in this county. My father used to be county administrator before he was tax supervisor. And I run for public office 4 times. And I'm well known as being who I am.
Yeah, sure, yeah.
I am a whore, can't you tell? But anyway.
I can tell.
Anyway, this is my stomping ground, right? So anyway, Werner says they shoot laser beams across the nose, UV lasers.
Right.
And it creates ozone in the air in front of the cow.
All right.
It breathes it in. And then he talks about hydrogen peroxide and everything. And it's so corrosive, it'll rot their digestive tract. It'll burn out, like, you probably don't hunt, but say when I go hunting a deer and I shoot a deer, well, the first thing I want to do is get the bag out of it. That's what we call a bag, you know, you cut where the stomach is, you're very careful, cut the belly, and you roll the bag out with the guts in it, out.
Yeah.
You don't want the bacteria, you know, the deer bloating, you know what I mean? Right?
Yeah.
You know, to take care of the meat. You bleed it out and get the bag out of it. But anyway, the bag will be all rotted out. The kidneys are the wrong color. The liver's the wrong color. We're talking calves that are less than a week old. I'll be looking at a calf that's healthy 1 minute and dead within 24 hours. I videotape it. Then there's other ones where they'll shoot. What he says is a laser beam, right at them. You can see where they burned the holes right into the udders and stuff like that. You can see it. And then what really brought the cops was this full-grown cow was fine the night before and then dead the next day. But this one was the most unusual death of all. You can see it on YouTube. It's hard ground. It's the spring of the year.
Yep.
Long horn, and it's driven right in the ground. Its eyes bugged out, its hoof ripped off, and it's still fucking bleeding, and the blood's not coagulating.
Yeah.
And when I put that up on YouTube, they weren't long bleeding his side, but I sure brought the cops to the barn. You know what I mean? Now, when I go on the internet, like right now I'm on wirelessly in Buddy's house, but sometimes, like, I'll bait the bastard, and, like, I'll go access wireless internet to some business, put up some YouTube, and the fucking cops will go right to the business and then come find me and try to arrest me. It's too funny. I videotaped them doing it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Now, what has their natty and knickers in a particular knot is back in the 80s, the RCMP used to hire me as an expert witness for my knowledge of motorcycles.
Yeah.
Right? And I testified at a coroner's inquiry. I think it was around 1982, 83, it was called the Silhouette Inquiry. The cops had killed a guy. And it was murder. The cop did it. I argued a physics professor and embarrassed him. And anyway, coroner's inquiries are quite antiquated around here, and whatever the Crown wants, that happens, and you're not going to prosecute an RCMP officer. So they just said the guy died of his own hand, but the widow's lawyer hired me. I rebuilt the bike. They sued. The RCMP settled out of court. And the RCMP were pretty vindictive against me and started calling me a Hell's Angel and all kinds of stuff. And I'm like Groucho Marx. I wouldn't belong to any club that would have me for a member. I was kicked out of Boy Scouts, for Christ's sake. But anyway, the war with the RCMP and I began, but that particular RCMP officer, his name was Gil Barreau, and I followed his career ever since. Now, anytime they had an ethical whistleblower against the RCMP, within the RCMP, he was a spokesman for the RCMP as they prosecuted Stenhouse and Reed. Reed was the whistleblower over Hong Kong. Stenhouse was over the bikers in Alberta. he was the spokesperson for Tainted Blood. And everybody knows that Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton sold that Tainted Blood out of Arkansas to Canada that killed more Canadians than 9/11. And that's never been settled. And Vince Foster was Hillary's assistant to help make the deal. And he was the first death related to the fucking White House, you know, when Bill Clinton took it.
Yeah.
And anyway, Paul Martin, he had shares in the medical companies that bought the Tainted Blood, and Canadians are dying today still over that Tainted Blood. So then you have, down Connecticut way, where Judy Wood is, you have Kathleen Dixon. She's the whistleblower over Lyme disease, out come off Plum Island, and she even come up and stayed on the farm with Werner for a while. The RCMP all know this about me, but back to Werner and the cattle. Kathleen Dixon, now she used to work for Pfizer and knows all about Lyme disease. She has it herself.
Yeah.
When she saw, when she watched Werner lose 10 cattle in a week, she freaked and went back to Connecticut and heard from her again. It's pretty weird shit, man.
But, we've had cattle mutilations here in the UK, but it doesn't sounds different to what you've described. We've had some pretty quick ones here in the UK as well.
Well, Werner's not alone in this. There's a farmer down in Nova Scotia. They just arrested him, took all his cattle, 135 head, prosecuted him. Said he was abusing his cattle, and he was saying the same thing that Werner's been saying about helicopters and strange stuff on his fields. You know what I mean? And anyway, they have Werner painted as a nut, and he's not. But I said, Werner, until we can catch a guy with a laser beam, all we have is the evidence after the fact, and that's enough, because it's not our job. It's theirs. You know what I mean? And I said, they can fuck with you all they want. As he describes himself, he's just a shitty little farmer, but he's not. He's a very, very smart man and a very ethical man.
Yeah.
That said, I said, they can fuck with you all they want, and they have for 35 years. They put him in a nut house for months back in 1970. And there was another farmer in there, the same thing happened to him, too. And he was in there at the nut house same time.
I've got to get on there, David, because it's after 11 here now, and I've got some things to do before.
Yeah, well,
I've got to go. I'm working tomorrow morning, so
yeah. Well, you find my YouTube. Things.
Yeah,
and then you go deep into my YouTube. So I got about 40 of them or so, but you go deep and you'll see the three missing YouTubes from Werner's site.
All right,
and then you look at my friends, and you'll find Werner Bach. And you can find these other YouTubes where he tries to explain things as best he can.
I'll look for that.
I won't put words in his mouth.
No.
And he can speak well for himself if you have an interest in that. And he has spoken to Judy Wood. But,
right.
And he's spoken on Dr. Carley's show about this. But as far as your concerns, good luck to you.
Right.
And thanks for your time.
Okay, yeah, well, it was very interesting talking to you. I don't know what to say, really. It's just, it's just mind-blowing stuff.
Information overload, right?
Yeah, but you get into this, it's never-ending.
Well, if you want to check my files, if you type in my name...
I've already looked through that one you sent me the link to.
Well, where I store some legal documents is in Scribd. So if you type in my name in Scribd, you can search through my files there.
Alright.
If you want to listen to sound files where I, from court tapes, me arguing in court and radio shows and stuff, I save those on a website called Internet Archives. Just type in my...
Yeah, I saw your account. I can probably access it through there,
I even put up... I even put up some FBI wiretap tapes in there that anybody can listen to. And then...
Amazing.
Then there's YouTube. So between the documents, the sound files, and the YouTube, that's about all I can do.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I know what you mean.
And time, Andrew, and thanks for showing some sand.
It's just one man to another, isn't it, really? So
when I saw the FBI and the RCMP in the stew there in the email you said. I figured you best be properly informed.
Well, they can come and give me a call. I'll tell them to decide what they better decide where their priorities lie for the future. You know, whether they want to get a kicked with something or whether they want free energy. You know,
the best advice I can give you. If they ask even the first question, you say, you're just fucking with me because I'm talking with Dave Amos. They go, who's Dave Amos? You say, Google him. Or just reach for a few slips of paper to give them.
Well, I'll do that.
They will run from you.
Alrighty.
You understand?
I can understand.
If you can watch me do it in YouTube, if you happen to have a little video camera and can record you serving them the documents, they'll have a panic attack.
Maybe I'll do that.
Well, you can see me do it. You know what I mean?
I'll have a look for that.
Yeah. You know, I'm not talking through my hat. I recorded myself.
I know that. I really do.
I recorded myself doing it.
Yeah.
So then what will happen is you will become persona non grata. They'll just avoid you like a ghost.
Yep. That's it.
Have a good day and thanks for talking.
All right then, David. I wish you the best and hope, you can get where you need to be, as it were, or want to be.
We're all heading to the same place.
Yep, it's looking that way.
Well, I don't know. I've had more fun than 10 minutes. Hey, you take care of the kids.
Yeah, I'll try. I'll try my best.
Thanks for your time.
Yeah, you take care, and maybe we'll talk again sometime.
Yeah, all right. I'm only here for a day or so, and then I don't think I'll be on the internet for a while.
All right, well, good luck. Thanks for your time, too.
Yeah, bye now.
Bye for now.